maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
How would you like to smell like the NFL's number one quarterback?
Oh.
Introducing Troy.
Troy.
For the longtime bachelor whose liaisons with women
beard
just seem to go nowhere.
Troy.
There's a man bent over in front of you. You lift his towel. You place your hands under his buttocks. Green, 16, set, hot, hot.
Oh.
Troy, whether you want to lob a few bombs at your man downfield, leave the pocket, hand off, or pitch out, you want Troy.
Troy. Troy.
Dribble it in your Speedo.
Troy.
Squirt it on your chest.
Troy.
Slap it on your fanny.
Troy.
It's the mysterious and subtle scent that says, I'm the quarterback. Protect me. Please hold me.
Squeeze me.
Blindside me.
Troy.
Pile on.
Troy.
Take me out of bounds.
Troy.
Sack me.
Oh.
Tickle me, pretty boy.
Troy.
You're tackled by a pile of sweaty men. You pretend to be hurt, but when they get off of you, you're lonely.
Troy.
It smells just like that pile of sweaty men with a touch of locker room and jockstrap mixed in.
Troy.
Troy doesn't discriminate. Febs, Fats, and Harrys all love Troy.
Troy.
Troy. Troy.
Not everyone could be a Dallas Cowboy, but if you're a Colin Cowboy, put a star on your helmet today with Troy.
Troy.
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now. We're in the DealsNadee.com studios. The Monday show, there's Troy Aikman on the open.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Who listens to podcasts?
I bet he's secretly listening to this podcast and he doesn't like the bit.
Wow. I don't know, why is it so funny when someone, and he says, what did he say, maybe I'm out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're out of it,
you are,
Troy.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Or you just don't like true crime. Everybody's doing true crime podcasts.
They are. I know. God, there was an incredible true crime story Saturday night at 48 Hours. Just incredible. One of the best ones I've ever seen.
Huh.
If you have it on demand or... does anybody watch on demand?
Maybe I'm not with the times. What is this on demand stuff?
But I wanted to start off with something else because, you know, Mike's on my mind a lot, and I just know he would love this story because it's just so damn stupid. Amy Schumer coming out on Friday to say that she will not appear in a Super Bowl commercial.
As oh, no.
I know. Are they going to still have the game? Her way of protesting the Colin Kaepernick treatment by the NFL or her standing with pro football players. I know, and then she's on white players to kneel. First of all, why are you telling people what to think? Maybe those guys don't want to kneel because they don't want to kneel for the national anthem. It may have nothing to do with anything being done to anyone that's wrong. It may be that they just feel strongly about the national anthem. There are a lot of people that feel that way, and I don't know why someone like Amy Schumer can't understand that. I think she even mentioned that there's a lot of veterans who even say, if you're thinking that veterans don't like it, there's a lot of veterans who say, okay, but there's a lot of veterans who think it's shitty, too, and they want to stand for the national anthem. So to stop telling people what to think and what to do. And then she tells...
No one is asking her to do a commercial anyway.
I mean, really, is this such a big penalty that we won't see an Amy Schumer commercial during the Super Bowl?
No.
How narcissistic can you be? I can't even believe she thinks that that is meaningful at all.
It's grandstanding.
I cannot measure how many fucks I don't give about this. It's just it's infinity plus one fucks I don't give about this stance by Amy Schumer. And then
what kind of stance is it anyway? Didn't she put a picture out on Instagram?
Yes, she did.
Shut up.
And she urged Maroon 5 to follow Rihanna.
Yeah, right.
And you know, it's interesting. You asked me when we were talking about this earlier. Did Rihanna say that she... I don't know. It was reported that she had turned the Super Bowl down. I'm surprised she didn't say something when she did this, or why is she saying something now? And also, how dare she tell Maroon 5 what to do? Fuck you.
Frankly,
how dare you?
Frankly.
You know, well, how about they tell you to shut up?
about the idea that if you this really means that much to you and you are Maroon 5 or Rihanna or whatever, why don't you do it and then you have the platform to talk about it while you're doing it? It's a much bigger platform than posting something on Instagram. Have some real balls. If you're really mad at the NFL, have some real balls and take them on. Not to post, post some self-aggrandizing statement on social media. It's silly.
What has Rihanna said?
She has said nothing. That's another thing. When you turn down the Super Bowl halftime performance show, do you have to give explanation as to why you're turning it down to the NFL?
Well, no. And honestly,
I mean, it is the NFL, so maybe. But
I don't think anybody's going to really, you know, it's going to affect Rihanna in any way, shape, or form. She's got a huge career. I don't think her not performing does anyone any good. I don't think performing would really change. Well, it would give her a little largesse, certainly for 15 minutes on the largest TV audience of the entire season, a gigantic, one of the biggest audiences in the history of television.
It commands a lot of attention.
Listen, guys, we waited for one whole year to get this trophy. And
listen,
it means
statement
so
Greg
much
Lloyd
to
made.
Everybody in here, but I don't think, you know, it would go without a doubt. This thing belongs to Mr. Rooney, belongs here, and let's see if we can bring this damn thing back here next year, along with the fucking Super Bowl.
Here we go.
I love it. There we go.
He was not going to skip the Super Bowl. Anyway,
I don't know how much Clark loved that. Listen.
Oh, yeah, Mike
I'm about to swear.
He did. And I put out some low-hanging fruit on Twitter.
Did you put a picture of her?
I did put a picture of her, and I said, Amy Schumer says no matter how much she is begged, she will not do a Super Bowl commercial. She wants Maroon 5 to boycott and for white players to kneel. In other words, she wants everyone to think just like her.
I'm sure you got a... a lot of disagreeing tweets about that.
Well, I didn't really make a super.
Excuse me.
I kind of just stated the fact.
Excuse me.
I just realized I left Kaepernick. People know the story, though. The first response is blah, 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 blah. She never refuses Twinkies. I will boycott any product that who pays her to promote. Well,
no,
maybe,
no one is. I know she did the Bud Light ad last year, but no one's.
Why does anyone care what she thinks? Gross. She and her like should concentrate on the overwhelming and ever-growing homeless population in California.
Oh, geez.
He was a mediocre quarterback. What do you think was going to happen? You're becoming irrelevant. Just want attention. Go away. No one cares. Idiot. What the fuck is asking her to be in a commercial?
Well, that is true. Nobody is asking her.
And I want her to stop talking. Can everyone please think like me? Where's the Michael Landon drop that when you need it? Sweetheart, slow down. You keep it like that, you'll be big as a barn. Disappear. Schumer, please. Can't wait to see this headline. Amy Schumer, controversial train wreck actress, dies at 35.
Jesus. Well, yikes.
It's a little dramatic.
Right? Because she put something out on social media.
Well, death threats are chic these days.
Well, they are, yeah. They're the rage.
It's not even a threat. It's just a headline someone's looking forward to. This is bigger than her butt. It's about justice and respect. People in America, all people. Oh, is that a support for Amy?
Yeah.
This is bigger than her butt. No, I don't think it's support for her.
Maybe to that point, she doesn't do that movement any help.
No, she doesn't. This would have more gravitas. Wow, Charlton, gravitas. Very good.
Yikes, wow.
If she turned down an actual offer rather than one that is likely not coming.
Thank you. Amen.
Six Mandy Moores. Funny. Funny and sad how she never offers her concerns after a police officer is killed. She's a scumbag. Can we stop pretending that we should be investing our time and thoughts into these people, that they are righteous enough to take these stands and shape society? Just make your movies and stand up and then sit the fuck down. That's a huge bitch.
You know, that is interesting, though. She did just post it on social media, and it becomes a story. It's annoying.
I've been complaining about that for a long time.
Slow news week.
A few people on social media is not news. She's a little thick in the body. Total rag. Another case of who gives a fuck? what's this? Oh, what a magnificent cunt.
Nice.
Well, anyway,
you know what is news? The fact that the Browns are going to overtime again.
Oh, boy. Another partial score?
Well, I don't know.
Is this their third
Maybe
overtime?
I'm distracted. I think it's their fourth, isn't it? Isn't it their fourth overtime
game? I have to turn this
year?
Television off. Everyone
I
falls
know.
Victim to it sooner
it.
Or later. So, Amy Schumer, thank you for giving us something to talk about at the open of the show today. I did want to mention that Saturday's Best Of, there were, boy, a lot of great comments. People just loved it, and I listened to a lot of it.
I meant to ask you, do you like the intro?
The intro? Oh, yeah,
I used the old intro,
yeah.
So I didn't know if, I don't know if you were cool with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was cool.
I figured you would.
Yeah, it was fun to listen to it, and I think everybody felt that way. It was a lot of stuff, and I think that's a good way to do best of, a lot of different stuff. And, you know, I had listened to that whole transcript thing. I could have probably listened to that whole, I think some people probably could listen to the whole thing, but, you know, you want to keep it within a couple hours. So I thought it was great, and people loved it.
I like the end.
Yeah, the end was great. That was Grow Old With Me by John Lennon, by the way, which was one of the last two songs I sent to him, and he loved it, and he was gonna get back to me after he listened to it a couple more times.
You know, it's funny, when I was listening to it, that was Lennon doing McCartney, right?
Yeah, that was, well, he was asking me what that meant.
Yeah, but I thought that was a perfect example of Lennon doing a McCartney song.
Yeah, it's a real simple piano riff, and, you know, Grow Old With Me. It sounds like a McCartney song. And he recorded that, I think it was one of the very last songs John Lennon recorded, in a hotel room on a 4-track, and the sound quality isn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
But Yoko put it on Milk and Honey, which was the album after he died.
It did, but the quality is kind of below, but
I think they cleaned it up a bit. No, not that much.
Well, some of the quality on our best of wasn't the best either, so.
True.
It was almost fitting.
Not a song I would think Clark would be crazy about, but he loved John Lennon.
Loved his voice, yeah.
Yeah, he did. And in fact, his three favorite voices, John Lennon, Mick Jagger, Jimi Hendrix, in that order. And he was very clear on the record with many seemingly unimportant things like that.
Speaking of him and music, how dare we forget about him loving Enya? Remember, he was dancing around the house to Enya?
It was really strange.
And his 80s collection.
You know, that's come up. There's a lot of funny things that are coming up. The 80s collection, which he purchased on a TV ad, and it came in, and he wrote all over the... There was a large...
I think we still have them.
Do we? Okay.
In the other room.
Yeah, it was just funny how he, like, father figure was the one that just killed me, because he like, great song, George Michael,
yeah,
father figure.
Let me grab him. I think I have him.
So he took a pounding over some of the songs that he liked. He had occasionally he liked something that just didn't make sense. Like, he liked Iggy Pop, the song Candy. And when he liked a song, he would play it over and over and over and over and over. Kate Pearson from the B-52s is on that Iggy Pop song. I would have never guessed he would love that song. Here we go. The sounds of the 80s.
With the notes on the back. And you know the picture I put up for the best of? The little montage thing?
Yes.
I'm glad I found that picture when we went to the Michigan State game in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture in the middle was an old promo picture. Why I had that, I don't know. But what killed me about it is I flipped it over, and on the back it just said, "Use this one!" 4 exclamation points, a bunch of underlines, which, if you know Mike, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's the way he wrote.
Well, let's see. David Bowie. Excellent!
What Bowie song?
Let's Dance.
Okay.
Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, Culture Club? Yes, Want to Hurt You. Back on the Chain Gang, Pretenders. Yes! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Didn't like a lot of the rest. Didn't have too many other comments. Walk of Life, Dire Straits. Border okay? I thought he loved Dire Straits.
Huh.
Here Comes the Rain Again. Kinda okay.
Kind of.
Time After Time, Cyndi Lauper. Fine. Okay, what's great? Oh, Forever Man, Eric Clapton. Great! Close by the Art of Noise. Keep, is that what he's referring to? Oh, Jump Van Halen. Yes! 4 exclamation points.
Oh, man.
Beds Are Burning. Chorus is great.
Chorus?
Chorus.
Oh, chorus.
Yeah.
The chorus of that song.
I know, it's really... Big Love. Okay, barely. Why would he even write that? Father Figure. Okay, Trish Likes. Keep Your Hands to Yourself, Joe Satriani. Sucks! Walk Like an Egyptian. Dumb, but I like it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I Want Your Sex, Parts 1 and 2, George Michael. Trish Likes! Where the Streets Have No Name, you two. Hate! Giveaway!
Giveaway one track. One track on a CD.
Why does he write on these CDs?
He hates U2.
Yeah, he was not a U2 fan. He did finally end up liking a U2 song or two that I think surprised him terribly.
It's, are those funny, though?
I know. Why? This is in the drinking days. Wait. Oh, Take It So Hard, Keith Richards. Excellent! He did love that song.
I don't know that song.
It's Keith Richards and the Expensive Winos. When the Stones split up and Mick had a solo album, Riff played a couple of Mick songs.
Was it a big song?
This was kind of a... Yeah, Riff played this. It's pretty cool, actually.
Sounds a
little
bit...
I'm with Mike on this one.
Sounds a little bit like a Stone song.
Yeah. Well, Keith's a producer of the Stones.
Yeah. It sounds like specifically a certain Stone song, and I can't place it. Mixed Emotion, maybe?
Yeah. Those Stones harmonies are very familiar. Yeah. Yeah, Mixed Emotion. Maybe that is it. He likes One by Metallica. Cool!
That's a great song.
Under the Milky Way by the Church? Okay. I'm surprised that's even okay with him. And then Luca by Susan Vega. Ha! Fuck you! That's no way to talk to a victim of domestic abuse, Michael Gregory Clark.
Why is he telling Luca fuck you?
Because he hates the song. Just don't ask me what it was. I think it's because I'm... I didn't really hate this song. The topic was like, oh, really?
It's a little heavy for a pop song.
It is.
Did she ever do anything else? Did she do Tom's Diner? Is that her?
That sounds right. She had a couple other songs, I think. But this was by far her biggest song. That's not the song I'd want to be known for. You don't ask why, you just don't. I am sitting in the morning. Oh, this. The diner on the corner. Oh, man, bummer. I am waiting at... Bummer!
Some band just uses...
Fuck you, Vega! Ha! Fuck you!
Some band just uses in a song.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, know. So there's the A's collection. How about that?
Is there any music to this song? To
the woman. It's an a cappella song?
Is that an a cappella version?
Mm. Very unnecessary.
Oh, that's terrible.
Do we have the Adam copy, by the way?
I can get it.
Okay.
I forgot to print it out.
We're delighted to have Adam back, the American Divorce Association for Men. I hope you're not going through a divorce. But if you are.
Unless your marriage is terrible, then I'm glad you are.
Well, yeah. If you need to get moving on, then yeah, you need to get moving on. It's always hard to do.
You know who told me that once? We had an interview with Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on hold, and it was right after he got divorced, and I expressed that boring platitude of, oh, sorry to hear about it. He goes, no, it's a good thing. Like, oh, you're right. That is a good thing for you.
How was Louis C.K.'s latest appearance? I understand he addressed the controversy.
He did. He talked about, losing $35 million in 1 hour. I don't know how relatable that is.
Yeah, I don't know if that's smart to say. I think...
He's got
to
say something. Though.
Yeah, I know he does, but I think that's... It sounds to me like he's trying to say, hey, I lost something too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly how it was proposed, but the lady that brought him on didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that one, when that whole thing first came up, when he came out and parachuted into a comedy club, you know, the two people that walked out, I just thought, oh, come on, really? Really?
Relax.
Really?
Well, first off, you're missing out on a big...
Yeah, you probably missed some really good laughs. But then I started reading more about it. I was just kind of, you know, I don't know, it's an interesting story. The whole thing is interesting. The Norm Macdonald thing was interesting. And then to find out how he really, really tried to come down on the people who said he did this stuff. And his management did too. And his management quit him right away. As soon as he admitted it, they said, you fucking bastard, you put us up to shitting on these people. And I just, I don't know, I felt differently about Louis C.K. because he, you know, he will go anywhere with comedy. And I always kind of thought, well, you know, he's a cool guy. I can take it out of him. But suddenly I didn't feel exactly the same. I know I'm sounding really soft here, but I just felt weird about him. I felt like, I don't know, it just seems like he's a, like a superstar asshole.
He never struck me as vindictive, but...
He sounds, it's the thing does sound really vindictive, though, the way it was handled. Almost Lance Armstrong-esque. Yeah. You know, not as bad, maybe, and not over as long a period of time. But I don't know, I really, I don't know, that one really, I'm not quite sure where to put that in my brain.
He performed a set at Caroline's and at Westside in the last week, both in New York. The Caroline's material was pretty similar to what he's been doing at the Comedy Cellar. The Westside one is where things sounded different. He's been to hell and back, a comedian on the lineup told him, Anne-Marie Castillo, who hosted. It's like he didn't skip a beat with the year that he had. He was so genuine, reflecting on how weird his year was. Tried out some new dark and dirty material. Sounds to me like he's owning up, acknowledging, and trying to figure it out. Thanks. Thanks for that commentary.
Yeah, people trying to analyze it are almost worse.
Yeah, the Caroline set was the same. On Sunday night, he looked frightened. Before he went on, he didn't get huge applause, but he did just okay. I couldn't listen to the words because I'm like, come on, bro, really? You're not going to talk about it? It was insane. It's somebody at the other appearance. Continued talking about it. The other one said it's been a weird year. He's been to hell and back, joking that while he was in hell, he met Hitler. Multiple comedians hanging out that night said he seemed authentic and real. And then his big joke was about how he got booed on the streets. Everyone now hates him, and I lost $35 million in an hour. The audience apparently loved it. Way more than the unrealistically guarded set just a few days prior.
$35 million an hour, it sort of sounds like, ooh.
Well, and not also, terribly relatable.
Yeah, not relatable, and also sounds like he's trying to say that I paid the fine.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean,
I don't know.
Should he never work again?
I'm not saying that. I just don't know that I'm really going to jump up and go to a show or how I'm going to feel if I see him doing a stand-up.
I must be a bad person. I would go.
Yeah, you're probably a bigger fan than I am. And I liked Louis C.K. I liked him a lot. He's one of my favorite comedians. I just hate that story. It just really sucks. And I didn't think he would... I just didn't see him doing something like that. He does not seem like the kind of person that would try to hurt another comedian because they told the truth about him.
Oh, that part of it, yeah.
It doesn't seem like him. So I've
just also doesn't seem like
I don't know him anymore!
I can't relate. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would beat off in front of women, too.
Well, that either. I'm letting that go
because
it's so weird. I can't
deal
with it. I know, in front of strangers.
Celebrities.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... I wanted to mention, too, I got a direct message from John Senning, who's from Lapeer. I'm 32. I fell in love with the Drew and Mike show on WRAF when my dad would take me to work, so I started getting up and recording everything on tape every morning. I've been working at this radio thing for a while now. I'm in a really good place as a producer for Drew Garabo live on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa.
Good station.
Yeah, I don't really know Tampa radio all that well. My friend Skip Mahaffey worked down there, who worked with Zip and I in Phoenix, and Skip did really well. Skip's on the Christian Network now.
Which blows my mind.
If his bosses call me for reference, I won't say anything. I won't say anything about the irony of Skip being at a Christian station. But
Tampa radio, also the site of the most jerk phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Between MJ and BJ and William Shatner.
Yeah,
I can't find it, though.
Where are MJ and BJ, by the way?
I don't know.
Did BJ... Something happened to one of them? I want to say one of them is still around doing something. That's weird because that show was doing great. And I'm sure they say, hey, where's Mike? Where's you?
My mind is blown. That's not even his name, MJ.
What?
Yeah. Todd Andrew Schnitt.
What's Todd Andrew Schnitt doing?
He's an American conservative talk radio host.
Currently hosts he's gone political.
The Schnitt Show, Afternoon Drive in Tampa.
Okay.
So he's still there doing his thing.
How long has he been in Tampa?
He co-hosted Morning Drive at WOR in New York from 2015 to 2017.
That means it didn't work.
No.
Sorry.
He's back there.
Sorry, MJ.
But he was MJ Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, no, they did really well down in Tampa.
1994 to 2012. That's okay. Crazy, yeah.
Paul Castroneves.
Miami?
Yeah, Miami, that's right. Mm-hmm. We met him when Trudy and I went to Germany for the Stones. He's a good guy. He was on classic rock down there in Miami, if maybe still is.
Isn't it Ron and Paul?
Yeah, Ron. Well, Ron and Ron.
Ron, okay.
Who were really famous. You know, it's funny how little things would get. If she did something really big, everybody in radio would know about it, and you'd probably get a tape of it eventually. Now, of course, we know right away because it's on the internet. And we probably catch so much, there's so much shit out there, we probably don't hear things we used to. But they had a famous interview with Don Johnson. Don Johnson of the famous Crank, as Mike Clark would say. And Don Johnson was bombed, I think, and he went off on them.
Oh, boy.
And,
awesome.
And for some reason, that catapulted them. And suddenly, everyone knew about Ron and Ron. They were good. They were good, though. They had a good show.
That was their OJ, or their, not OJ, but...
MJBJ William Shatner moment?
Yeah,
something like that. And they were on, they might have had a satellite show, too. Wait, is Ron Bennington, is he of Ron and Ron?
I don't know. It's Ron, Young Paul. Isn't it Ron and Young Paul now?
Okay, yeah, I should know these things.
No, you shouldn't.
So maybe someone will correct me.
MJ, or BJ, well, I just had an update on him, but I don't know where it went. Oh, well, I give
it
up.
It is really
why
weird.
Why am I digging into this?
It is really weird. Well, radio, you know what? It's great. We learned that Inside Radio Talk is something people really like in our audience. I don't know if it's because of us or people just like it more than we think they do, but I find that you can't go wrong. Howard does it all the time, too. Anything Howard does, I go, you know what? I used to want to do he does it. It must be okay. But I was going to say, I was listening to so much of the Drew and Mike show that it was weird listening to. I know I talked about this some on Thursday.
Very weird.
But, it's like I'm a fan of the show now, whereas I used to go, I don't want to hear that again. But it was, and I hope Mike didn't have to die for that to happen. Maybe he did. I don't know. But it was really weird. It was like, wow, this thing really works. It's really easy to listen to. It's a nice companion. It was fun. And it's been long enough that some of the things I was listening to that they were sort of new to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hear things. This is really weird. There was a call Mike and I made. You'll probably remember better than I will what it was. It was to somebody who maybe played in a minor league baseball game. Maybe it was a fan that was allowed to play in a game or something. Does that ring a bell?
Not at all.
Fuck. Maybe it involved minor league baseball. That's all I know. Anyway, it when it was played,
we heard all about it on the radio.
I hadn't heard it in about 12 or 13 years. And as it was played, I was listening to the guy talking, and the things I was thinking were the things that came out of my fucking mouth on the radio. It was so weird. It was crazy.
Imagine that.
I know it was just weird that, you know, 12, 13 years later, the same things would hit me in the brain. But
well, I came across the squeeze 'em, pinch 'em, watch 'em bounce line.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so goddamn
funny. The live sex line is funny, too.
Which, you know, every time I hear that, I hear Mike eating. Which I can just picture him in that production room with his feet up on the table, chowing down, just laughing about those idiots.
I have to tell you, one of the funniest things I've read, there's been so many comments and people mentioned so many things and catchphrases, and it seems like there needs to be a T-shirt with catchphrases or a picture of Mike and catchphrases or something, but somebody said we were calling a sex line. I think it was a recorded sex line, and they said, you know, they need a password or a credit card, and Mike said, Areola, are we in?
Yeah, that's the squeeze them, pinch them, watch them bounce.
Is that
line.
It?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I think it's it's that one or the one where the porn line came alive.
Yeah, and that call, I think both of those got around too. So I think there's probably a lot of people in this business. We got on like as an Art Volo CD or something. Art Volo Radio Volo, Special. Yeah. He put out a video of Mike too.
That was very nice. Yeah,
it was of the last day. That was very nice. Thank you, Radio's best friend, Art Volo. What is Art doing now? Any idea?
Putting YouTube videos together.
Is he still radio's best friend?
Yeah, or he's YouTube's best friend. Hi, Brandon.
We look him up. I'm just curious what Art Volo is doing. I'm gonna do my best not to make fun of him because he just made a video of Mike.
It might not
be easy, though.
He used to do the the guides.
Yeah.
I think he still
give you an hour of a show. Those were cool, actually.
No. He would do a guide to tell you like what's on
of
what
all
station,
the radio stations
they changed
yeah.
so much,
right?
But yeah, I remember going.
Art should do a podcast guide.
He should.
That would be an all-decade job.
I remember going to morning show boot camp, and they used his video was fed on the Mandalay Bay internal TV station.
Really?
And I watched so much of it. Just so much.
The radio show after radio show after radio show. Yeah, he did one of those of us, which was cool.
And I'm sitting there going, why am I watching this? But I can't stop watching. I don't know. It's just really weird.
Has the Morning Mouth checked in with Don Anthony?
Did Morning Mouth?
You know, I thought I heard that somewhere. Morning Mouth.
I told you that. I think they put something out.
Did they? Okay. Can we look that up?
Yeah, let me go to my
computer. Don Anthony's an old friend.
Now that Brandon is here.
Brad died at the house. So this is scene. I'll just take care of this. The Spooktacular Savings are back from the dead with our repulsive friends at Zodford and Holly for the month of Rocktober. You can lease a new 18 Ford Escape as low as $57 a month. That's a brand new Ford Escape with a monthly payment that is less than the cost of candy you'll be handing out to all the neighborhood brats on Halloween. Or if you need a truck to tote your load of goblins and jack-o'-lanterns, you can lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Supercab 4x4 as low as $105 a month. These squeamishly haunting deals will be gone before you know it, so slither your way to Zod Ford and see our zombie-rific friends to get your ghoulish new Ford Escape at $57 a month or a witchy Ford F-150 at $105 a month. Check out the bone-chilling deals and horrifying inventory at dealsinthed.com. Often the first question men will ask when they talk to a lawyer at Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, is how much is a divorce going to cost? But the real... That's a great question.
Yeah,
who wouldn't ask that first? But the real question is, how much is it going to cost you if you don't hire the best? Adam was the first law firm to focus exclusively on representing men in divorce, and Adam is still the best. It doesn't cost any more to hire the best, but it could cost you plenty if you don't. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM, and that's Adam. And good to have Adam back as an advertiser, and I hear they're doing well. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I hate to hear people are getting divorced, but that's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it might as well be Adam. And what's up, Brandon?
Well, not much. Just got done taking some maternity photos.
Well.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was quick. I showed up and I said, "Let's get these over with."
As if you're in any control.
I was. I was here earlier today, working on some stuff, and then I had to drive all the way out to Elmont.
Ugh.
So I had to drive like an hour north. I was there for about 5 minutes, and I drove an hour back.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Only day that we could get everybody together.
Who found the Troy Aikman drop? That is just classic.
I was watching Thursday Night Football, and it turns out Troy Aikman just doesn't like those podcasts.
Why were you watching that game at that time? Because it was a total blowout.
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, and then Joe Buck beats him up. I was watching because I enjoy the game of football.
I think it was fantasy players.
I might have had Emmanuel Sanders on my roster.
How many people were involved in the photo shoot?
There was, Kristen and I, the photographer, Amba, and another couple, Kristen's best friend and her husband.
Oh.
Where's intern Amba, by the way?
Which one?
Intern Amba from 105.
Yeah, we've had two. Oh, from 105, yeah. Amber. Is she doing a podcast? I'm not up on the times, but
where's Vinny Stubbs? Is he doing a podcast?
Yes, Vinny is also.
I think we're due to hear from the highest maintenance intern ever, Vinny Stubbs.
I did hear from the other Amber
Stubbers
from way back when worked at Fox 2.
Yeah, I heard from Karen Trombley.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I was wondering.
She sent me a couple things.
I saw some pictures that she had posted.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say the question. Where's Rob?
Rob Schaefer? I have no idea. That's really, that's really.
I tried looking him up under his real name and couldn't find him. So I don't know where he is. I don't know. I don't know where he is.
You know, wow. What
kind of blown away by
I hadn't
that.
Thought about Rob in a long time because Rob was with us for a while, but Rob left. And it's been a long time and he hasn't been in touch. And his girlfriend, Fran, married the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls, didn't she?
She did marry him?
I don't know.
I don't know. I know she was with him for a while. I don't know if she married him. I can look it up.
I think there's only a way. I looked that up, and I swear to God, I think I saw her with him, and I was like, that's Fran!
I know her!
I know Fran! Did the day Rob!
She was nice. She's great.
Yeah, she's very cute. Very cute. Wow, that's weird.
Are you talking about the main guy?
Yeah, I think it was Johnny
Resnick.
Johnny Resnick. I think. I don't know. I mean, what's the chance of that? How come we never talked about that, too?
I don't
That's
know.
Really weird. But there's been a lot of stuff coming up like that. A lot of people checking in, really. Kind of overwhelming, not in a bad way, but just like, wow. You know, Jeff Daniels tweeted about Mike. Gary Hoey.
I found a couple golf outing pictures from the Daniels thing when I was looking through stuff on Friday.
Yeah, someone said to me, Jeff Daniels tweeted about Mike, and I wasn't surprised enough, I guess. And I said, Mike made quite an impact on that golf outing.
He did.
He really did.
Yeah.
We were in it probably, what, four times?
Yeah.
And that was a really different golf outing. It was a lot of fun, and we certainly added to the merriment.
Did you hit someone with a golf ball one year?
Yes, I did. I
thought so.
It's hard to golf when you have a full bowel.
You did yell four.
I did, and the people were taking a long, 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 long time, and it was
not a bad golfer.
It was a par three,
and I think I spanked it, and it was on the green, which is quite rare for me. So I think there was very little concern.
I was impressed.
There's a man that went to Wake Forest named Arnold Palmer.
That reminds me, I tweeted out that picture. Somebody sent me a picture of me at Virginia Tech playing baseball, and so I tweeted it out, and that also was low-hanging fruit. Throwback. Someone found a picture of me playing ball at VT. Yes, of course, I am safe. I'm sliding to third base. It looks like I'm sliding back. Number four.
Are you sliding back?
I'm sliding back into third.
Yeah, okay.
And the comments.
That guy's tagging you with just the ball in his hand.
I know. It's bizarre. Weird. Somebody pointed that out. How old is this kid? in, out, three times. Some people were saying they use different colored seat covers to make the stadium appear to be full.
in, out, three times.
You played against Kenny Powers. The third baseman has a mullet. Probably slid into first. That is the softest slide of all time. Ooh, B-U-N-T.
Bunt.
Did this...
B-U-N-T.
Did this first baseman not own a glove?
Yeah, great point.
Way back in the Drew Flocka days. You look out. LOL. We may have to talk to Eli about what the circumstances were here. I think you're mistaken. That's clearly Matt Frewer beating the tag.
I just like baseball when I was a kid. Rule?
Somebody commented that. I used to like baseball as a kid. Drew may have been on Flocka.
I love a tweet like that where it's, I used to like baseball as a kid. Because if you don't know that drop, it means nothing. Like, why would somebody write that?
I just like baseball when I was a kid.
Soft Weekly. He caught a crazy one-hopper barehanded and Drew had to dive back.
Nifty Graham fires over to second and you complete me.
Did they not have colored photos back then? It's black and white.
Well, that's the thing. I reached out to Virginia Tech a few years back and I asked about your, you know, collegiate baseball. And they were actually really helpful and really easy. I didn't have to jump through any hoops whatsoever. I just told them who I was looking for. And they sent me the program. They sent me a whole bunch of pictures of
Except
you.
Except I was terribly disappointed. They only had my stats for my junior year, which was my worst year.
Yes, they sent
So you added my senior year later because I hit 229 my junior year, as I tweeted Saturday.
Virginia Tech, tremendous school.
It's never far from my mind. 229, that's like the jinx number for me. Well, that number 107, of course. But
yeah.
Techmen, we're Techmen, with spirits true and faithful, backing up our team with hopes undying. And Techmen, we're out to win today, showing pep and life of which we're trying. VP, oh VP, you know our hearts are with you, in a luck that never seems to die.
Virginia Tech.
Win or lose, we'll greet you with a glad returning. You're the pride of VPI. Just see our men so big and active. Support the orange and maroon, let's go Tech. We know our backs and ends are strong. With growing hope, we know defeat no longer. To see our team go through the line, boys, determined now to win or die. So give a hokey, 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 hokey,
tremendous school.
Were you? Oh, I just wanted to mention I hit 367 my senior year, so it fucks up my career stats big time to leave that year off.
I remember how salty you were when that picture first got tweeted out.
It had my career stats, and my career batting average was like 30 points too low, and I'm like, fuck!
Because people were beating up on, oh, you really fell out at the very end there, but well, it wasn't the end.
I think there at one time there was something in the program that was the biggest difference in batting average, like the biggest drop and the biggest gain, and I was both.
Well, okay, what happened your junior year?
That's a great question. That's what I'm haunted by. I said in the tweet, it seemed like there were 15 fielders every time I batted, and I do remember...
What was exit velocity off the bat?
I think the exit velocity was fine. I don't know what happened. You know, I had a weird year that year. I really can't explain it. I can't explain what was any different the last year in terms of preparing or anything. It's just weird. But that's a big drop and a big gain. But I have to
live with it.
Were you any good? Seriously, that's Bob.
Not his junior year.
No.
Senior year.
You're out, period. And there's something about, I see your pants were small back then.
That's right, your tight baseball pants.
Drew tripped on his way back to the dugout, it looks like. And then there's one. Wait, I have to push it. Was this picture back from when all the men were fighting in the war? Something got eliminated. I think it was about the Negro. Was this back in the days of the Negro Leagues or something like that? I think it got taken down. Is that possible?
Wilmer Valderrama, that must have hurt.
It might be below. You have to press another button.
I pushed that
it.
And I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
It's really weird.
Took it down.
I don't know. It's crazy. Our listeners continue to tell us about their experience at the Yaldo Eye Center. My sister's seeing like a hawk now. I don't have any Patty copy, but I know she said both
eyes. Come on, Patty.
That she didn't, she barely knew Dr. Yaldo was in the room. It was just like over like that. And
Patty!
I think it was a few days to sort of get it all straight. And I think she couldn't drive for a day or two, but she's seeing very well. And she seemed, she seems very happy. And of course, there's Laura, the registered nurse who financed right through Dr. Yaldo, had glasses since she was six, but no more.
She sounds hot.
She got custom LASIK. Patty got the multifocal lens implants from Dr. Yaldo because he's done 30,000 LASIK procedures. He's Michigan's most experienced at this. That's why my sister saw him for multifocal implants, the Rolls Royce surgery for people 45 plus. No more reading glasses. Great near and far vision for life. Don't settle for mediocre vision with old technology like Laura and Patty and thousands of others. Throw it all away and see like an eagle. 1-800-398-EYES. 1-800-398-EYES or sign up at the YaldoEyeCenters.com. YaldoEyeCenter.com. And then Dr. Roche, of course, they are just, what's the word? The year of...
boobs.
Body tight. Body tight. Yeah, boobs, always boobs, of course. But boobs. You're body tight. Everybody's tightening up their body. They're tightening up their neck. They're tightening up their chest, their stomach, their triceps. Women go crazy
here
over their triceps.
In the tight pants. See how tight they are? Mm. Oh.
That's a patient who couldn't get into those tight pants previously. It's They're another, still too tight. But
it's another thing Mike Clark loved. Bentley was in that.
Miss Mina.
He vividly remembers playing Miss Mina for Clark the first time because he couldn't stop laughing at it.
You're tight there.
Hey, Brandon, do you have that butt mic that I sent the other day? I don't think it made it onto the best of.
Oh, let me
it's
grab it.
It's an email,
it's
I think.
Take me a minute.
Yeah, anyway, body tight, Zero Body Tight 2018, the new procedure that people are so crazy about, and the Fractura too, which does so much to restore that fresh look to the face, to worn, tired, wrinkled skin. BBL too, if you want to do something a little less intrusive. BBL, you know, it's like 20 minutes, you're out of there, and maybe a little redness, but the next day, especially after you get it twice maybe over a month or three times in a couple or 3 months, you really see a difference. And then, of course, boobs, boobs, always boobs. Diva, lipo, all those things maybe that the people do. The Botox, the fillers, Dr. Roche does it all. Tattoo removal. God, I can't imagine all the green blobs I wouldn't see if people went to Dr. Roche because they didn't like their green blobs. Well, it's your call, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, or DRR D-R-R-O-C-H-E. D-R-R-O-C-H-E.
Humorous to me, like no American guy would ever, ever, ever wish.
For crying out loud.
That was aimed right at me.
Yeah, its trajectory. Its trajectory was right towards your belly button. There are fart particles attaching to receptors in your nose as we speak.
I know.
The demon guy.
It dispersed.
If you scrape the inside of your nostrils, you could do a line of Mike's fart.
Nothing happened there. That was a sound effect. I just went to check the door.
Does this have the slow motion replay?
It's true. Because those fart particles attach to the receptors inside your nose. Did you know that?
I also suspect
they become a part of you. Mike's fart is a part of you. Yeah, I hope you have maternal instinct about Mike's fart. Are you having maternal feelings about his fart? Because you're carrying it.
But Mike said, thanks for the ride.
I'm going to blow my nose. I'm going to abort it. Oh, God.
He's so proud.
Yeah, that really upset. That really upset Lucifer. Lucifer did not like that part.
Yeah. So proud. Oh, for God's sake!
Could not be happy.
Yeah.
Why does having your fart particles attached to her nasal receptors make you so happy? I haven't seen this happen in a week.
Sure. Just the whole thing surprised me.
Yeah, right. You've been doing it all morning.
You've been taking a beating because of a new pink shirt.
Yeah.
This is revenge.
I'm wearing new pink birthday shirt. And you know what? I dig it.
I dig
my pink shirt.
Almost looked like you were propelled one step forward by the force of that.
I was caught off guard. That's why I'm laughing. I mean, the whole thing surprised me. Believe me. I was a passenger on that.
Well, you were a passenger who was pushing.
you suspect a push, do you?
Yeah, that was force.
Yeah, you may have been
that
right.
Was power.
My face was as red as my shirt.
Does it smell good enough for you in there? How do you like the smell? Is it good?
Trudy Daniels, we're fine.
We have some audio, I guess, that's being saved for the archives.
No American guy would ever, ever, ever wish.
For crying out loud.
That was aimed right at me.
Yeah, it's trajectory.
Oh, there we go.
I remember slowing that down to hear her going over.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had just read about particles of fart attaching to your receptors, and that came in so handy. I didn't know I would be able to use that so quickly. But
yeah, who would think Mike would have farted in someone's direction?
It's amazing. What a coincidence. So, yesterday was a crazy day for college football, and I have to say, I thought Michigan State was, I thought it was a good game to watch. You know, it wasn't.
Oh, I love that
scoring game.
I love that hour and a half delay.
I know. That was terrible. That was a long, long game.
For a lightning strike?
And honestly,
in the area.
It's called Mother Nature.
Considering that Michigan State had 94 yards, to be tied in that game at the end of the third quarter, it had to feel good. I mean, you couldn't be too upset.
It felt awful.
Well, no, obviously it would feel bad to hold someone to 94, well, 87 or 80 at that point. But, you know, it was strangely close. I call that a good game, I guess, is a little weird. The defense has played very well. I thought State's defense was better than I thought. And I just know this about Mike Clark. If he had watched that game, we would be hearing about how Lewerke was throwing the ball and there wasn't a Michigan State receiver as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. Yes, he would. He would have.
What was going on with that guy?
This whole year.
Not that it would have mattered. I really don't think he could have. If he completed 15 out of 25, I really don't think it would have mattered.
This whole year, he has just seemed to regress for whatever reason.
But that was
atrocious.
5 for 25.
Holy it was the throws along the sideline where he just launched it.
Yeah, I mean, throws it.
Hold on! High two!
10 yards from the receiver.
I thought the coverage was pretty good.
Yeah, the coverage is always good.
Hot, hot,
but, hot, you know, what I didn't expect was all the hullabaloo after the game.
Oh, because, how hilarious.
Yeah, it was
before
funny.
Before and after. It's fun. Yeah,
it's amusing. I'm surprised, honestly, I didn't expect either team to be quite so petty, but whatever.
You know?
We came in here, I openly, in the public, called it a revenge tour, called them out, said they're next. We came in here, slashed their field before the game, and we still came out here and just got after them every single play. Like I said last week, you know, the prior couple weeks were for the boys. This one, just for our season. And we knew that they couldn't hang with us. We did what we had to do. Sometimes your little brother starts acting up, and you just got to put them in place. Like, they tried. They gave it their best. It just wasn't enough. Our guys came out on top, and we're just going to continue
Chase.
To work and try to get better and build.
The only thing
Why are you breathing so hard?
The only thing that would have made that better if you went, it was a good win, but they're still at our biggest rival.
Win 3 out of 11, I think calling somebody your little brother is pretty silly.
Oh, really. We won the last one. That's all that matters.
You know, sometimes you get your little brother excited when you're playing basketball and stuff. You let him get the lead, and then you just come back and take it back.
It's funny. I
love all the extracurriculars. I think it's hilarious.
Well, as a fan, it's hilarious. Like, it's just not very classy.
Who cares? It's a game.
People care.
Remember when Joe Bolden put the spike in the turf, and everyone got all pissed off and upset and already killed Michigan?
Yeah.
Was that 2014?
First of all, it looks
fun.
That's so dumb, though, when you get your ass handed to you.
Of course.
And honestly, when you call somebody your little brother when you won 3 out of 11, it sounds stupid to me. It's like, what?
But just remember, pride comes before the fall.
That was a brilliant quote, I have to say, and prophetic at the time. What was that, 2007?
Yeah, it was after Little Brother.
And then this whole thing about players being clotheslined. You know what a clothesline is? That's when you like almost break someone's neck.
I always think of the WWE clothesline.
They're walking across the field.
It's pretty cute how they all walk across the field before the game, arm in arm.
Yeah, it's adorable, and I don't know why they do that. I guess does somebody else do that?
They got more yards doing that than they did in the entire game.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
I read a lot of comments.
I didn't see that. That's
I read a lot of comments in the Free Press, and I went to the East Lansing paper just for shits and giggles.
Oh, yeah.
Is it funny? It's amazing how
people
can see the same game so differently. It's like, wait, really?
That's college football.
Yeah.
That's why it's fun, and when you win in talk trash, it's even more fun.
Yeah, I just think it's stupid to talk trash when you win, though. When you win, go home. Say, hey, we won. It was a hard fuck game. We won. We're really happy. I understand. I played sports, so it's dumb to me. I just don't feel like you wake a sleeping dog. But
remember what Darian Harris said when we talked to him? He said that's bigger outside the locker room. I think it's fun. One of the best teams I loved growing up was that university.
Well, see how much fun you think it is when Michigan State's saying things about Michigan.
They've said plenty over the last 11 years.
What have they said? Pride comes before the fall after they were called little brother?
They weren't happy with the Joe Bolden stupid spike thing.
What was stupid?
I know. But that's fun. Isn't that what makes college football fun? It sucks losing.
Yeah,
I'm not happy they lost.
When my coach says something stupid, I don't like it. I really don't.
Remember how great those Miami teams were that talked a ton of trash and were really fucking good?
Yeah. I mean, they really were good. This team, now here's the thing, you know, if Michigan goes on to win the next 5 games and wins the national championship, it'll be prophetic, legendary.
What we're talking about right now.
Yeah, right now, if they lose in 2 weeks, it might sound kind of stupid.
Frankly, I wish Alabama would talk more shit. As good as they are,
I think they're very disciplined, though. I think they go out of their way not to do it.
And Roll Tide.
How can we have this president and have a boring number one college football team?
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
We shouldn't be talking trash. That football team should be talking trash.
That team wins so much, it almost is boring. But I mean, what a fantastic! I mean. They're making history in Alabama.
They're phenomenal, and nobody cares because they're so much better than everybody. Them and Clemson.
Their fans care. Believe me, their fans enjoy it.
I don't know. Saban got pissed at him.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly.
See, I'd rather have my coach be petty about the other team than bitching about the fans.
Well, when your coach acts that way, you're not terribly objective about this coach.
I just heard about it. I didn't see it. But,
I don't think you are.
Out there.
Oh, I've not been happy with him.
And
I think he's fun.
Apparently, there were clotheslined. Two of our guys came out in their helmets. Lawrence Marshall came up and clotheslined.
Drew, he knocked his headphones off.
Ripped off.
Ripped them off. Not just knocked them off. They ripped them off.
Headphones. Total bush league. Apparently, Coach D'Antoni was 5 yards behind at all smiling. So Yeah, I think it's Bush League. That's my impression of it.
It's also still, even Devin Bush tearing up the
Do people
Spartans.
Still say Bush League, by the way? Because I kind of love that. Bush League, when I was a kid, everybody said, oh, that's Bush. And, of course, Bush has a much different meaning now. I don't know, but it was really common when I was a kid. And I haven't heard anybody.
Bush.
It was kind of refreshing to hear someone about my age say Bush League. I don't know, it was just kind of funny. That wouldn't have been my choice to talk. I would have just said, look, we won the game. We're happy. Whatever.
That's boring.
But fine. Yeah, no, as a broadcaster, hey, it's fine with me. I'm not complaining.
I kind of like
just,
it. Doesn't
I'm just calling it like I see it.
Doesn't this make next year's game a little bit better, too?
Yeah, it does. Always. It does.
Because even Mark Antonio responded to that.
The other day you talked about the last few years feeling like it was
I love hearing this reporter
a cleaner game, more sportsmanship. Fold. There were some issues before the game today. Mm-hmm. The little brother line comes out again afterwards from Michigan players, and Coach Harbaugh said the
telling on him
before the game were total Bush League.
Narc.
And Coach D'Antonio was right behind it all smiling. I was curious if you had any reaction to that. I'm sorry?
You heard me. That's BS.
Okay.
You guys get your cameras out. It's all on Fox. I'm not going to go to that.
And then they looked
go
at
ahead.
The...
Next question.
Then they looked at the camera, and he was smiling!
Yeah.
Was he smiling because they clotheslined people?
I don't know. He said he was smiling behind the whole time.
Clotheslining is when you literally, like
it's
a guy going... going at high speed, and you grab him around the neck. They were walking arm in arm across the field. I don't call that clotheslining and knocking someone's head.
So what?
Oh my
but the fact
God.
Was, he was laughing.
They also had a choice to get off the field.
Yeah, they were late by 10 minutes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I saw all the local writers how they described it versus the East Lansing writers, which is comical. It's like, well, wait, I thought you people were journalists. Wouldn't you think they'd have the same account? So anyway, that's all fun, and it is grist for the mill.
I think Devin Bush did laugh about the fact about his whole antics before the game.
Hey, he won't be laughing when the Spartans win next time.
He'll be gone. So will Winovich. That's why it's always
it is
easy
ironic
for the outgoing guys.
The senior guarantees victory. The senior scuffs up the logo. I love this whole thing. All the stuff is surrounding the logo. What if they have Johnny Spirit out there protecting the logo before the game?
It's so great. It's so stupid.
It's so childish.
I love, I hate how stupid that trophy is.
Oh, Paul Bunyan?
Yes, I think it is the dumbest trophy.
All the Big Ten trophies are dumb, and nobody
I think
cares.
The brown jug's cool. I think the broken chair is the coolest.
The brown jug.
Floyd of Rosedale's
the
coolest.
The brown jug for like 90 straight years.
Well, I'm just talking about the actual trophy. The old brass spittoon is pretty tits.
Is that for Purdue?
Isn't that Indiana? Yeah, Indiana and Purdue, I believe. Oh.
By the way, watching Purdue kick Ohio State's ass and seeing Purdue's offense, I was like, God, I wish everyone played each other like the old days in the conference. Yeah. That was really cool.
Who Go Boilermakers!
Who do I want to throw out of the Big Ten? I want to throw
Maryland
out
or Rutgers.
Rutgers, Maryland. Nebraska can go. Fuck Nebraska.
I don't know. I like having them. Eh. I like their fans.
But
I got to tell you, I'm done with Indiana. They can fuck off.
Yeah, Indiana can go.
Get out of here.
Purdue can really go, too.
No.
Out.
I want to see
out,
Purdue.
Out.
I want to see Purdue against Michigan's defense. Not because I think they'll beat them up or anything. It'd just be interesting because their offense is really.
Well, you get to watch them next,
I love their
you
offense.
You get to watch them next week.
Who are they playing next week?
They're at Michigan State.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
The only thing that would have made that game better last night, Purdue and Ohio State, is if Tyler Trent would have scored a touchdown.
Oh,
and frankly,
Ohio State players are flailing all around him.
Frankly, I think he could have without them flailing with their defense tackled. Could you imagine if that guy, and those people that don't know, he's the bone cancer kid who's really rallied the team and predicted a victory and wasn't going to make the game and made the game.
I tweeted his picture out and got lots of likes.
Come on. Is that not the most stereotypical story?
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's a nice story. It would have been great, though, if he got in the game and scored.
Yeah, it would have been.
It's a good story, though, that kid.
That was nice. I agree. No, it was
Although there's that evil part of me that would have been. It would have been great if he got in the game, was about to score and
somebody just
lit him up. Strip the ball from him.
Just a big pile ass over apple cart.
It's a total targeting.
Targeting. Helmet to helmet. Sorry. Oh, boy. Well, we're all going to hell already anyway.
Oh, well.
God damn it. Who's Virginia Tech playing next week? You know, they had that fucking game canceled. That's the second time that's happened to them. Georgia Tech, there was some game canceled like 5 years ago.
You're talking about the East Carolina one?
Yeah, the East Carolina game. If Georgia Tech was years ago, but it was canceled. They never made it up. And so then they have their bye. It's like they're like SNL. They play 3 weeks a month. I swear it feels like SNL because I just did not see that bye coming anywhere. All of a sudden, I'm like, where's Virginia Tech? What do you mean they don't have a game? They just didn't have a game.
They play on Thursday. They play Georgia Tech.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that fun offense.
I know, that's a pain in the ass. Oh, and then, of course, the Clemson party with the floor falling.
Oh, my God.
In. You know, I don't care how many times I see a floor fall or a dock fall.
Yeah.
I will watch it over and it's over and over. I love watching the individual people. And I know people are being hurt. And when I first see it, I always go, oh, there's a fun video. No one's getting hurt there. And, of course, people are hurt, aren't they?
They said 30 injuries. I don't know how bad. I don't know if anybody's dead.
Do you remember the one where the balcony fell?
Well, I'm glad you said that. That's the last like collapse we saw, but that wasn't that like Indonesia, their stock market?
I thought Chicago had one.
Chicago. Oh, you're talking about an outdoor deck.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
But you know, I saw that one. I was like, those people aren't hurt. People died in that thing, didn't they?
To that point, there was the Indonesian one, like at their stock market, and it collapsed. Oh, people died.
Yeah.
And I remember us laughing at that because it's half a world away.
Well, does it really matter? It's never quite the same.
It's still people.
Is that the Clemson one?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, you know what? Serious issue, Shell thought every time they show this video, every news outlet, they mute the audio. And I couldn't figure out, is that because of screams of horror or is that because they don't want us to hear the song that's being played?
What's the song?
It's a Chief Keef song, but I don't know what.
Music's still playing.
Fuck yeah.
I always figure a bunch of drunk college kids are probably fine.
Yeah, they're limber.
But they took a bunch of them to the hospital, so that's weird. Like, I mean, imagine if...
Go back to the video real quick. Sorry.
Is anybody on the floor below, by the way? Is anyone below there that they're landing on? Because those are the people I would think would really be hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
Because, like, I mean, Brandon, look at this ceiling.
I'm looking at it.
If I came through this ceiling, would you think I would be hurt?
If you came through the ceiling?
Yeah. I mean, the ceiling just fell.
Sorry.
Well, I shouldn't be laughing at the one guy
climbing back up.
I do definitely think that this ceiling is a lot smaller than, like, they went down pretty damn far.
Why is that so far?
I mean, that looks like a 10-foot.
Well, it's a clubhouse at an apartment building.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they posted that the clubhouse is currently closed. Yeah, no shit. There's a giant hole in the floor.
Their flooring looks really
thin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that subfloor only looks to be like a half inch thick. And
I don't think I'm coming through this floor.
Fuck no.
No, and I don't think you'd be hurt on this floor either. This one's only going to be like a 6-foot drop.
I know. I'm not trying to be insensitive about this. I really am surprised. I go, really? People really hurt that bad? I mean, it's not that far.
And thankfully, this guy's still filming.
Right. I mean, he was filming everybody dancing, too. Which, I guess that works out.
Everybody always filming. Oh, my.
Wait, can we see that again? I just want to look. What is this guy filming?
He's filming everybody dancing.
Why?
Well, not only is he filming, jumping, but all those other people are
filming.
Yeah,
they are jumping on the floor.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ.
There's one video where it looks like people are like, hey, I'm jumping on that pile because the floor keeps collapsing.
Oh.
But they fall in, but it looks like they're diving in.
Who's the guy in the blue shirt?
I know, he did a good job.
He's on the edge.
He was able to hold on.
Scramble to safety.
Look at this guy climbing back up.
Well, why is he climbing up?
I guess.
Were you trying to get hurt because you didn't get hurt?
To get off of people.
They got the lights on quick.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody else is. There's only like one dude helping people out. The rest of them are filming.
People down below are filming.
Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah.
They're like all the phones. What the fuck? What is going on with people that their first instinct is to film something like this?
I witnessed the dumbest filming of something I've ever seen in person.
Oh, I have to hear this.
On Friday, we took the girls, and say what you want, we took them to Frozen on Ice at the LCA. Do you even know what Frozen is?
Frozen on Ice?
You know what Frozen is, Brandon, don't you?
It's a Disney
figure
movie.
Figure skating. Right?
Disney movie.
Oh, a Disney
movie. So it's just Disney on ice, they tell the story.
Does Annie really dig that?
She was getting off on it, man.
Really?
Yeah, but Charlotte was, you know, this is the real reason we went. The row in front of us had not one, but two people Facebook living it.
Oh, my God.
So I guess their followers could watch the show from wherever they are.
Well, that's kind of a ripoff.
It's a, well, who would do that anyway? I'd rather, I'm not going to film a show for you if you didn't go. It's not like the place was sold out. Sounds like a lot of work.
People have just lost their minds. I have to talk about a show that happened over the weekend that got a review from someone we know and more dearly.
And then we're sitting there and we see like this light from behind us. We're like, what is that? It was on for about 10 minutes. We turn around and it's like some 60-year-old lady filming it with her flash on, just illuminating us from behind. It's like, why? Really? Are you that unaware? You just not give a shit about your surroundings.
That's pretty rude.
And just real quick, Drew.
Great show, by the way.
Yeah, the way you would know it, Drew, is that song is actually Let It Go was in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Who was performed by Idina Menzel, otherwise known as...
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
I actually had a buddy who went to that show this weekend as well.
Oh, really? Frozen on Ice?
He went on Saturday.
Got tailgated.
And I believe that he has fallen victim to the all the shops and the restaurants.
Oh, my
around.
God, yeah.
So I think he now believes that everybody's actually hanging out in the concourse instead of the game.
I was hanging out in the concourse. I was talking to Armani thinking while the show was going on.
Well, but
concourse.
The show wasn't for you.
Well, no, but I'm supposed to be enjoying it with my family.
Why don't you take care of that, and I will. I'm getting ready to tell you about the Roy Orbison hologram concert.
Oh, that's right.
That made it to Detroit over the weekend. Gary Graff. We will not. He did go. He reviewed it, and we will not be busted for not reading his review before we talk to him about it.
I cannot.
So I'm going to read it in a second. It's really interesting, and there's a couple good laughs in there.
I need to tell you about Hoop McInerney's Star Lincoln. It's 2019. All those cars have arrived at Star, and already appearing are the 2019 Lincoln MKCs. You can get one with a lease as low as $331 a month. X and A plan customers, you can get even better savings than that. If you're a conquest buyer, you want to come over for maybe a different kind of car, you can save thousands of dollars on the Lincoln Continental. It is one sharp car. It's America's foremost luxury sedan. That's what Marcus owns, right?
Yes.
Someone was giving me crap saying that you've said that a billion times, but I swear you said he had the same car.
I think he did the previous car.
Balls. That's the Lincoln MKZ that I'm driving right now. I love that car. But the star right now at Star is the Nautilus. The 2019 Nautilus comes standard with safety extras that otherwise cost thousands of dollars, like 22-way adjustable seats, blind spot monitoring, lane centering technology for continuous steering support, every kind of technological little toy you could ever want in a car. Get the Star treatment, the free loaners, the free pickup, the free delivery, immaculate showroom, and a service area, and a welcoming staff of sales pros like Jimmy D, our very own sales guy. You can call him at 855-567-STAR, 855-567-STAR, or you can email him jimmyd@starlincoln.com. That's all at Hoop McInerney. Star Lincoln, for 50 years, a legendary jewel among Detroit Lincoln dealerships at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Yes, please.
Six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
Please go see Jimmy D, the amazing Jimmy D. We got to move some Lincolns.
Hey, one last note on the Michigan-Michigan State game.
Yes.
Did you see Mahmoud Ahmadinejad tweeted about it again?
Really?
He tweeted the highlight package and wrote, "Watched highlights of the Michigan-Michigan State game. Great effort by both teams. As always, a hard work ethic pays off."
Shut up, baby dick.
I think you should start tweeting at him. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Wow.
I'm trying to talk about Iran.
You know what I felt bad about was Felton Davis.
Oh, God, that
tears
sucks.
His Achilles. And is he a junior? Is he got another year there?
I think he is a junior, yeah.
Oh, so that was really sad.
A non-contact Achilles tear out for the year. Ugh.
It's a bitch.
Yeah, that was a tough nice one to turf. See, too. Ugh. You could see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the center, Matt Allen, went out of that game, yeah. Too. Michigan State is kind of banged up, aren't they?
Big time.
Wow. LJ Scott was back. He didn't help much. Why didn't they throw more screen passes, by the way? I would think if you can't complete a ball over 10 yards, you throw a screen pass or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's hurting me very badly. I'm in pain all the time.
I think I want to listen to Mike Valenti tomorrow. I think there's going to be an earful.
Oh, you want an earful?
Why not? Once in a while, yeah. He was bitching after he lost Northwestern. He went on quite a rant about he actually sent a note to the show too, by the way.
Oh, he did?
About Mike, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I thought it was nice,
I did
too.
Not know that. Cool.
Because, you know, it's interesting. I listened to 97.1. I never heard anybody say a word, and I never heard anybody. It seems like everyone who said a word, it was reported back to the show, yeah. And audio was sent frequently.
Yeah.
And Mike, I would think all those guys knew Mike.
A 97.1?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jamie worked with them.
Jamie
worked with us on
the
show.
But I would think the midday guys would know Mike or would listen to him probably.
Yeah.
Valenti knew Mike. Yeah. And maybe he sent a note. In lieu of talking about, I don't know. He doesn't talk about a lot of things besides sports. But and maybe they just talk about sports and not about local people dying. I don't know what their policy is. And it's really not neither here nor there. I think people got, the word got out. Yeah, I was just kind of curious.
I mean, Mitch talked about it.
Yeah. And Paul W. Smith.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We have
talked about the W.
Yeah. Yeah, Sminty asked me about that.
Somebody had published an article that you guys, I think it was from 96 or 97, that Sminty had written, and it's got quotes from you guys going back and forth, and it's got some great pictures in it. It was basically just a screen capture of the paper itself, and it was actually a really, really great article, but you guys were really getting chippy with Sminty. yeah, it was kind of...
Things got chippy.
Yeah.
By the way, I sent a few articles to our Facebook coordinator, and hopefully those will be on our Facebook page.
Oh.
I've never called Zooves our Facebook coordinator before.
That's his new official title. Facebook coordinator.
I don't know what to call Zooves other than Zooves.
Zooves.
Yeah. I sent
That's
Zooves.
A great name.
and hopefully he gets them up there sometime soon. Because they were. It was fun to read that stuff back, and there was a lot of stuff.
Are you talking about old?
Yeah, they were old. You know, there's a really old one Bob Talbert wrote when... So zipping
shit
I just
all over
got here. Yeah, it was pretty shitty actually, but it was fun to read later. So anyway, Gary Graff was writing about the Roy Orbison concert. Given that he died 30 years ago at the age of 52, the idea of a Roy Orbison concert is, as the song says, in dreams. But technology has made that particular dream come true. In dreams, Roy Orbison in concert, the hologram tour is gimmicky, shticky, and even a bit creepy, as strange and disquieting as it was entertaining. At the Fox Theater on Saturday night, October 20th, it was also crowd-pleasing, at least to the minuscule.
Oh, what?
Ooh. Oh, we need to talk to Gary about this. I wonder how minuscule it was.
Oh, man.
But enthusiastic group of fans, it turned out. As the first full-scale hologram tour on the road, it also may be a harbinger of things to come. The late rapper Tupac, after all, played, in quotes, at Coachella, while headbanger hero Ronnie James Dio has toured in Europe. It's a vehicle to bring dead icons back to life and give their fans another chance to see them, in quotes, or in many cases, see them for the first time. Maybe Roy Orbison's just not... I mean, he's really...
Big enough?
He's pretty... I would think his fans would go see him, I would think, but his fans are old.
What day did he play Saturday?
Yes. I don't know.
I was trying to think what was going on Saturday that... Well, Michigan State. You know, I don't know if that pulls his fans.
It's interesting
away.
With Elton John. I just couldn't help notice, and Paul McCartney too. There's a lot of people who aren't that old at those shows. You know, when you're relying on,
but
and Roy Orbison really appealed to women, and I think older women. I don't think he had a lot of. You know, wasn't it?
I'm 42. I like the Beatles. I love Elton John. I don't really care about Roy Orbison.
Yeah,
but
maybe,
I don't know much about him other than the Traveling Wilburys.
Maybe he's not the right hologram.
Why is it him?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, that's a great question.
Was the family just like, we'll do it? Were they just the first ones to?
Maybe.
First.
Tupac's been out there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that draws. But then, this is funny.
Weird.
But let's see. Okay, in many cases, see them for the first time. And how you feel about that. And about Orbison singing, Oh Pretty Woman, Crying, Love Hurts, You Got It, and dozens of other favorites on the Fox stage. Depends on how much you need to have a live experience with those stars again. There was no question the gray-suited guitar playing Orbison on Saturday was a projection. The shimmering image was unquestionably flat, especially juxtaposed against the cadre of live musicians, a small orchestra mostly of local players, which I thought was weird, that included with string and brass sections and backup singers. Only the drummer and conductor tour with the production. Only two
weird.
People come with a hologram.
Huh.
And there were points of the show where the stage lighting made the hologram Orbison opaque with the other players peeking through his body and undermining the effect. What? How freaky.
That makes me want to see it more.
Me too.
For the chance that something would go wrong, like he'd glitch out like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when he's disappearing.
Or he turned into like a Funhouse mirror version, which reminds me of Mike Clark stealing the Funhouse mirror back in the day.
Like Orbison gets really huge, like someone zoomed the hologram out. Tiny. Problems are fun.
His appearances, too, rising from the stage when he arrived and subsequently disappearing in a wisp of smoke, did not enhance the illusion.
Remember we saw that and we thought that was pretty stupid.
Yes. All that said, the performance is unquestionably tight. The live playing impressively synced with the recorded Orbison. The projection even swiveled to look at and acknowledge the other players occasionally exiting the songs with gestures or hitches of its arms and head. Its arms and head. It helped that Orbison was never a particularly physical performer, so more motion wasn't required. A static Elvis would be more problematic. The hour-long show featured a pair of visual montages that were perhaps more satisfying as the orchestra played instrumental versions of You Got It, Blue Bayou, Leah, and others. Footage of recording sessions, photos, and testimonials from Bono, Jeff Lynne, and late Tom Petty put some historical context to what was happening on stage. Backup singers delivered Ooby Dooby and In Love before the hologram returned to close out the night with I Drove All Night and Pretty Woman. The hologram returned.
What?
The latter actually bringing some fans out of their seats.
It's so hokey.
Gary said it was ambivalent. There's no point where you lost sight of the fact you were watching a projection of what the Orbison before us was in... Or that the Orbison before us was in any way real. His vocals were, as always, wonderful, but on tape. It was much more... It was as much and maybe more science experiment than rock and roll show. A clearly heartfelt tribute that teetered on cheapening the legacy of the artist it was honoring. Ooh. I think when... It's a really small crowd. It's time to retire the hologram.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Or just reset it for someone else.
Can you imagine?
I'd love to know how much the family got for that.
Well, what about the other players? I mean, can you imagine playing with Roy Orbison's hologram in front of a very small crowd?
It's a paycheck. You know?
I guess.
Get you out of the house, too. Get you on tour.
That's a little weird.
Wow, I wonder who's going to be next. Oh, no, we know who's going to be next. Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they say Amy Winehouse is going to do a hologram tour.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see it.
I don't know about that.
If she's
fucked up, if they have the fucked up hologram, I'll go see it.
Yeah, I'm rooting for something to go wrong. She's got to have the whole band, though.
Can't they do, like, greatest concert moments ever? Like, in different outfits?
Like a review?
Yeah.
Like we're at Disney?
So we could see fucked up Amy, really sober Amy. Partying Amy.
That's once again at Frozen on Ice. I was actually hoping someone would fall.
How could you help it?
Well, they're skating around. I want to see what would happen. It's too well coordinated. Mistakes are fun.
The mother of Rocktober, the month of Rocktober is good for so many things. Beautiful colors on the trees, yummy cider and donuts. And most importantly, Zot M59 Dodge Ram Power Days. You heard right. Our studio sponsors at Dot Dodge Ram and DealsNAD.com are bringing you Ram Power Days during the month of October. Check out this deal. Only our friends at Zot Dodge Ram can make happen. Lease the all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 at just $199 a month.
It's my dream truck, man. That's why I like.
Or if big badass trucks are more your style, Zot Dodge Ram has you covered. You can lease the same all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, plus they'll add a 3.5-inch lift kit, and 34-inch mudder tires for just $249 a month.
Big truck.
These trucks are already upfitted, so all you have to do is stop by, sign up, and drive. You've never seen a deal like this. You may never see it again. And it's only available from Zot M59 Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. And then David Hall wants you to know, if you love the podcast, one of the best ways to support us is to support our sponsors like Hall Financial. And right now, Hall Financial offering free appraisals to all listeners when they close on a conventional home loan. Whether you're looking to purchase or refi, Hall Financial will take great care of you. Just click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike Show website, and they will then fill out the online form. They'll contact you, crunch whatever numbers you want. If you want to refi or shorten your loan, take some money out of your home, make a low-down payment, whatever it is, just click the Hall Financial logo on the Drew and Mike podcast website to start chatting with an expert or call 248-308-5000. Tell them we sent you to get your free appraisal. That's 248-308-5000 or click the link on our website today. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender. NMLS number 1467435. Equal housing lender. Let's see. We did not. What was I teased? Oh, Roy Orbison, I teased. Okay, 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. We have not talked about that yet.
Oh, my God. What a story. True crime. I don't think anybody does it better than 48 hours. I don't know why.
Unless you get fooled by one of their Live to Tell episodes.
Oh, I know. What a bummer.
How dare they have the gall to live and tell?
Weird.
Just die.
There's no need to tell. They're alive. They can tell anyone anytime.
It's not a story of someone's alive.
I know. I have rejected things that were, when that came, I was like, oh, it's that Live to Tell shit.
Yeah,
I know what's going to happen.
I want the mystery.
48 hours last night, did a story on this guy. It was a weird story because he seems like a real normal guy who married this girl he was madly in love with, so much to the point, and it didn't really dawn on me when they explained this part. When she needed to get gas, he would leave work and fill up the tank for her.
What?
I guess so. She didn't have to put the...
What, is she from Jersey?
I don't know. Good question. I know. I thought that was Oregon? A really strange thing to point out. It's like, what a prima donna this bitch is.
Do you need to get out of work that bad?
Well, that was the other thing I thought was weird. It's like, it's okay for him to leave work to fill her gas tank up? Really?
Not only that, nice planning. You couldn't maybe in the morning go, oh, you're going to need gas today. I'll just go fill it up before work.
Pretty stupid. But anyway, so there's this wonderful couple, and they have a friend who is married, and they're very close, the two couples. They got engaged at the same time, married at the same time, kid at the same time. You know, there was just, they were very much, you know, a foursome, apparently. So, anyway, the other couple, the guy sells life insurance.
God, this computer's too slow.
And he had sold $1.7 million in life insurance on his friend, which I thought, wait.
Aflac.
They pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together. Just a big old fucking suck.
Only about 20 seconds too late.
Why this guy buys $1.7 million in life insurance is like, what?
Well, it's his buddy. He's wants to help his friend out, right?
Yeah, help him with commissions. Yeah. He and his wife worked at Florida State, so I'm thinking they got state jobs, probably good benefits, and it just seems stupid to me. But anyway, so on. We move forward. And the guy with all the life insurance, oh, my God, he goes duck hunting, and he dies.
Wow.
Thank God
he has all that life insurance.
I know. He apparently fell out of his boat and was eaten by alligators.
Oh, how inconvenient.
Yeah, except that, as they pointed out, alligators don't eat people when the water's that cold.
Oh, wow.
But for some reason...
Why, are they picky eaters, or what's going on there?
I don't. Maybe the water's too cold, or the body's
maybe
too
cold. Maybe
they're
not active.
I don't know. It was very weird. And so the wife, meanwhile, 11 days after the death, while they're still searching for him, they don't know he's dead. And this alligator narrative is being pushed, even though we learn later that that didn't make any sense. But they're just implying 11 days after he's missing, she's filing for life insurance.
Jesus. That's a classic mistake.
Then she files for the second policy after 19 days. After 6 months, she gets a death certificate from the court, and
without a body because the alligator ate him.
And his mother, right, his mother is saying, he's not, this, no way. There's no way he fell out of the boat. My son is not in that water. There is no way unless someone pushed him in the water. You know, I want an investigation.
It's one of those stories. On the face, it sounds like, oh, yeah, that's plausible. But then if you think about it, it's like, no, what are the odds you're going to fall out of a boat?
And
even if you do fall out of a boat, what are the odds that an alligator's right there and you're not going to be able to get back into your boat?
No, the story was crazy. So it gets crazier, though, because the other couple, they get divorced.
Oh.
A couple years later.
They use
and
Adam.
The guy ends up with the widow with
Hot.
A $1.7 million.
Wow. Well, they have so much in common.
Yeah. So then, well, he did write the policy. He might as well partake in it. Then
he knows how much money she has now.
Yeah. Then a strange thing happens after they're married a few years. He, you know, they didn't get too deeply into this, but it made it sound like he had some major problems. One being he was a sex addict. And she wanted nothing to do with him all of a sudden.
Did they ever bang when the friend was alive? Do we know that?
Yeah, I think we know that. They were a little... they weren't very specific about that, but it was pretty apparent that, yeah, okay, something was going on. They
bear back, something was baby. Going on. No, Jimmy. Raw dog.
Did the ex-wife, the guy, so he divorced her and...
Yeah, she really...
Did he talk to her?
She did not. She was not featured in the story, unfortunately.
Really?
I know. I was surprised, too. You know, maybe she just wants nothing to do with it, or yeah, she's moved on with her life or remarried or who knows.
Good riddance.
Yeah, I certainly feel for her because she was certainly... she paid a price in the whole thing, too. So this guy, so the widow with the new dude, she suddenly wants nothing to do with him. And then one day he hides in the back of her car and puts a gun to her head, and he's got a tarp and like he's going to fucking kill her.
What?
Yeah. He kidnaps her, and she talks him down, says, I love you. I still love you. Please don't kill me. And he claimed that, well, I was going to kill myself, you know, one of those things, but he didn't kill her or him. But she pressed charges. So,
oh, moron. You know what's going to happen.
I know. So in court, she gets to make the victim impact statement. She wants life in prison. She doesn't want him to ever get out again because she's so scared of him.
For kidnapping.
For kidnapping. She did not have a scratch on her, by the way. I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought it was interesting that they were even talking about it. It's like, wait a second. We just saw a story on Dateline about a guy who molested children, then murdered someone who he sexually assaulted. He got 16 years. Then he molested a 14-year-old girl and got 2 years, I think. Then he was molesting younger children. I mean, it's like, wait, this guy, the minute he gets out, you know we're all in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what
well,
the
kids
fuck?
Are.
It's like Nathaniel Aram's a great example. What yeah. next?
Yeah.
As soon as he's out, what next? You know it's something. What is it? Anyway.
A basketball rubbing on his chest while he's hard.
Anyway, she wants life in prison. He gets 20 years. So
he gets 20 years?
20
for
years.
An
yep.
attempted
kidnapping
of his wife?
And
were yep, they still married?
They were still married, I believe, yes.
That's
I know, it
seems
weird.
Excessive.
I don't think it mattered that it was his wife. I don't think that really played
yeah,
a role.
Yeah, you're right.
They might have been estranged at the time. So anyway, they figure,
years,
hey, this maybe this is a good time to go after, before this thing got to court, they tried to say, where's your ex-husband, where's your husband buried? She's like, oh, I don't know, he's in the water.
It's an alligator's right? belly.
Like, she's like, we know he's not in the water. We know that him. Where is he? You know, we think this guy had something to do with it. How did he kill her? You know, on and on. And she's like, if I thought he killed her, I wouldn't be with him.
Could
so,
she not? See the steps of
I know I couldn't believe she was this stupid, but of course he's in jail now, he's angry, and he tells his attorney he wants to talk. They arrange for him complete immunity for anything he says on that particular day regarding his best friend.
Okay, a murder,
and he says,
but he still gets the 20 years.
He still has the 20 years. So he says, okay, here's what happened. I went to the pond with him. I threw him in the water. I pushed him in the water, and I shot him in the head.
Holy shit.
Yep. And here's where his body is. And they find the body, and he also says, by the way, that I planned it with my mistress, his wife.
Wow.
And she was
they
on
never
board.
Thought they were going to get caught. We caught him.
And we did it so we could be together. She, because of her church, didn't feel she could withstand a divorce. And by the way, I hear that logic shockingly more than I would
that's
ever
a,
think
that's
you would
a lot
that.
Of risk for very little reward.
Well, but wait a second, the idea that the church doesn't approve divorce, so I'll just murder him
so you're gonna,
and be a widow.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
Church you're hates divorce,
religious.
But they're cool with murder.
Yeah. You sound really religious. So anyway, they have now arrested her, and she's been in jail for I think about 6 months, and they're trying her. Soon.
Now, can't she just, isn't she just going to say, like, I had nothing to do with that?
Of course, yeah.
She's got a mean mug.
Except she claimed the life insurance.
Sure did.
Yeah.
And he
pretty
said,
quick.
And he said that was the reason. By the way, somebody from the insurance company said
she'd be hot.
She may be the coldest widow they'd ever talked to. Because
oh,
she
looks cold.
They, yeah, she
looks
does.
Looks like she could be hot, though.
She no. is, you know what? She's got a nice body on her.
Yeah.
There's no pictures of her smiling. Her name is Denise Williams, and her husband was Mike Williams. And
the wide receiver?
Yeah, yeah, the wide receiver.
Yeah, the Lions' first-round pick. The tight.
If you ever wondered what happened to him.
But all the pictures that are available of her, she's just got the biggest frown on her face. She's so angry.
But if you see them when they perp walk her, you can see she's got a hell of a body. This guy was fucking crazy about her. And she looks a lot rougher in court. Boy, if you ever want to see a girl looking her worst, wait till she's on trial. She will not look good. The roots all grown out, no makeup. She looks pretty cute there, she's all made up.
That's probably what's going to destroy the fact that her roots, she can't dye her hair.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting, though, because she could just say, no, he did it himself. And
oh, she will. And her attorney said that.
He planted himself, and he told me afterwards, so she could be, conspiracy or accessory, what's it called, after the fact?
Accessory to murder.
So instead of planning the murder, she can just plead guilty to that.
Oh, no, they want her. They want her for first-degree murder. Absolutely. Funny how often that happens, where the person that pulls the trigger doesn't get the worst sentence because they're the one that gives the story up.
Does she have to give the money back? Did she give the money back?
Oh, they're after her for insurance fraud, too. And they're after him.
That's another charge?
They're after him for insurance fraud,
too. Oh, he doesn't get immunity for that?
Might as well pile on. Nope. Nope. That's between the insurance company and him. I don't think they could grant immunity for that.
Do you think he kind of, I see what you're saying. Well, no, it's a criminal charge, though.
Well, I don't think they either thought that far ahead, or I don't know.
I wonder if he's I thought he'd get immunity for that, too. I take it back.
I read that. I'm sure, yeah, he probably thought he was going to get immunity.
Where's her perp walk? Like, how far into 48 hours on a Super Bowl?
It was probably 55 minutes in. It was pretty far in.
Oh, that far in.
Yeah.
Did they have some cool stock footage of an alligator?
Oh, yes. Oh, they had great stock footage of alligators.
Well, who's that poor alligator really now? Good. People are going to think he's some body-eating alligator.
Yeah, and the poor alligator didn't do a damn thing.
Oh, he's just being an alligator. There it is. I just passed it.
Walk?
Yeah. No, the alligator.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them. They do it multiple times.
That's one innocent alligator. That's why alligators are getting this bad name.
They also said if the alligator ate him, if it had been in warmer water, that the alligator would have left parts of him behind.
Oh, they don't eat whole bodies?
I guess not.
Delicious. It's interesting.
The other thing was, when they were starting to say that, we're not so sure he's in this water because we've really searched it, his waders turned up.
Whoa.
His shoes.
Yeah.
And the experts said these waders would have had slime and all kinds of crap all over them. It was like somebody just put him in the water and said, hey, there's his waders.
Why would they? That's dumb. Why would
I,
you do
I know
that?
There were a lot of dumb things about this story.
God, they really think they're smarter, don't they?
It blows my mind. I can't believe these people think they're going to get away with this shit.
Is this her impact statement for the kidnapping?
Yes.
All right, I want to hear this idiot.
She looks kind of hot there.
She could have done better than him.
Nonetheless, I do know that.
Although
she
was he
was
a sex addict, they
must
have done some freaky shit.
Sorry.
She might be a good sex toy.
She's kind of hot.
Pretty good there.
Your name, please.
Denise Williams.
Denise showed up at the sentencing. What was she like there? What did she want?
She wanted him to go to prison for the rest of his life.
I start each day with the memory of him jumping out of the bag. And I end each day feeling the gun shoved in my ribs when I turn on my right side trying to sleep.
She was scared.
Please.
She was compelling.
Yeah, but you don't think about your...
He will finish what he has started. No,
you don't think about your husband getting shot in the head.
When he's released.
It'd be great if there was an alligator sitting in that courtroom with his tiny little arms crossed.
I'm asking you to sentence him to life in prison for the crimes he has committed. It comes down to my life or his. And I'm asking you, please, to choose mine.
You're speciesist against
gators. Oh, fake.
Come on up with your client, Mr. Jansen.
For kidnapping.
All right, I want to see her perp walk. How did they bust her? Was she shocked when she was arrested?
She was at work. It was pretty cool.
Who's filling up your gas tank now? Idiot.
I know this poor guy. His mother wrote the governor of Florida every day, I think they said, for 7 years.
And he threw it away.
Probably.
there she
is.
Where'd she
work? She looks pretty cute there.
Did she work at Florida State?
Yes.
She's cute there. That's an older picture.
The happily ever after part didn't work out so well.
In May 2018, 5 months after the discovery of Mike's body was announced, Denise Williams was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy.
What a stupid outfit,
murder,
though. What's she wearing?
And accessory after the fact.
Yeah, she's hot.
It was a.
Those titties aren't going to help you, honey.
No.
She said nothing.
Maybe with
she
a guard.
Didn't look at anybody. She just looked straight ahead.
This woman behind bars in Leon County tonight, a grand jury indicting her for allegedly killing
Leon. You're
not a bad mugshot.
No.
I might want the negatives for that if I were her.
You are so thankful that she has been outed for the true person she is, but it doesn't. You're still left with the same result.
Wow.
Even though you saw her led away in shackles.
In an ugly dress and.
She agrees. She agrees. I thought that.
I gotta tell you.
Yeah, that outfit's terrible.
That tie job.
That's how important appearances are to her.
She's right. That's a terrible outfit.
Denise had to listen to all 2 hours of Winchester's confession.
Aha! There she is.
That she needed to believe was the story that we created for her.
Ooh, those roots are really growing out.
Was at home with her baby, Mike McMunting, and she has no idea what happened.
Denise was denied bail and is currently awaiting trial in county jail.
She didn't do it. She had nothing to do with it. She's completely innocent.
Defense attorney Ethan Way is.
Oh, cool office, dude.
Denise.
Did she know about
his
it?
Office. No.
Not before, not during, not after.
You are very confident.
He had a gazelle.
I have an innocent client.
He had like 8 gazelles mounted. That's all he had on his walls.
Denise, maybe Denise herself.
When I watch.
I'll put a
Denise
picture of that guy's office
hearing.
Up on the website. And her outfit.
I like her hair. I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
She's a cold-looking bitch.
Damn.
Would you?
Yeah. Hendrickson. That's attractive. We make up
whole case.
We got her body. I don't think Jim would be interested in you. You have to ask Janie. It was always Al Hendricks' comment. You'll have to ask Janie. I wonder if they ever got the golf glove in stock that Mike wanted to buy.
Oh.
The Jimi Hendrix golf glove.
I'll never get that golf glove now.
The one thing on the order list that they did not have in stock when Mike tried to order.
What are the odds?
So what do? We called Al Hendricks.
Oh.
He had no clue. None. He didn't even know there was a golf glove.
He didn't know there was merch.
Yeah, I don't think he knew there was merch. Although he got his Mercedes.
That's right.
And his new carpeting. Probably new bowling ball, too.
Leon got his $1 million and then written out of everything.
Poor Leon.
He got so boned.
He did get to do an interview on our show, though.
He's great.
Of course. He's Jimi Hendrix's half-brother, and he plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite
capitalizes
like
on the name.
Yeah. Rare interview with Leon Hendrix.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, he's doing
interesting.
Great.
Interesting. Yeah, he did stand-up. And I guess it was okay. It was an event with Judd Apatow. Hmm. But there's a story going on.
Speaking of Judd Apatow, I watched Bill Maher had a 25th anniversary for Politically Incorrect / Real Time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, they focused on him saying from day one when Trump announced, he goes, this guy could win the presidency. Maher was ahead of the curve on that. And one of the guys shooting him
down.
Wait,
say it again?
Bill Maher was ahead of the curve saying Trump can win the presidency.
Oh, okay.
He said it all along the second he entered the Republican race, the Republican primary. He said that. But there's a clip with Judd Apatow where Apatow's like, oh, no, he can't. No, he won't. And all I can help think is he must be so pissed about that now that that's why he's constantly tweeting everything else, where he's jumping into every news story and tweeting about it.
You know, it was weird. Jimmy Kimmel was on Howard this week, and I really enjoy Jimmy Kimmel. I've always loved Jimmy Kimmel, and I really liked hearing him on Howard because it was completely divorced from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nice to hear Jimmy Kimmel in another world where that doesn't exist, because they don't go on and on about Trump is horrible or Trump is great. Howard's kind of a... Actually, he's gotten shit, I think, from some of his guests for not... which is hilarious. These people that insist other people should say certain things. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's
get out of it.
He's friends with the guy, or at least a version of the guy.
He likes Howard. He likes Donald Trump.
Try me.
He was one of his favorite guests, and I think Robin liked him too. And I don't
disagree with a lot of his policies.
Yeah, he said he didn't vote for him. He doesn't understand why he wanted to be president. I think that's his main complaint. But I kind of disagree with him about that. I think he loves being president.
Of course, he does.
So sure that it really has destroyed his life, and also.
It was fun hearing Howard talk about this whole Saudi Arabian thing.
Oh, the fist fight?
The fist fight. No, just about being friends with these guys, with Saudi Arabia. It's so true. I don't understand why we have to suck their dick when they sent 19 of the 21 hijackers.
Oh, they also need our hardware that we sell them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'll never get it. But for some reason, that's just the relationship we're going to have for
stupid. It's been going on and going on and going on. And I got to tell you, in 2001, that's when I really didn't understand it.
Well, that's when it should have been over.
Yeah. But we sell them so much stuff, and we, you know, it keeps some Boeing factories worrying and a few other factories. And Trump brought that up when it came up the other day.
First thing you brought up.
And I understand that. And honestly, if that's the reason, I'd just soon know the reason than hear how wonderful they are all the time. But a fist fight, really. A 59-year-old went into an embassy and got into a fist fight.
Took on 18 guys?
Yeah.
You must have put up a hell of a fight.
And his body's never been seen since.
No, but people exited the building wearing his clothes. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Put his clothes on.
What?
Which I would think, after a fist fight, I wouldn't want to wear some guy's clothes if he died accidentally during a fist fight.
That's really weird.
Well, they wanted to make it look like he left the embassy, and it's crazy. We don't know what happened. So they sent, one of the people they sent was like a body double for him.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah. But the problem with that plan was his fiance was waiting outside the embassy for him.
Oh, God, his poor fiance.
Oh, really? Like, he was just running in there and then coming out?
To get a marriage license, I think, wasn't it?
He went in. They said, oh, you know, come back on this day because we don't have it. So he's like, oh, okay. And so he leaves, and it's crazy. All the Turkish employees had the weekend off, which was the day he was supposed to come back. So he was walking into an ambush.
Oh, man.
Which, just because he's a reporter that nobody in America read. Isn't that the big irony of it? Nobody knew who this guy was, and now he's this Khashoggi's a cause. It kind of backfires on them because he's a thorn in their side.
Well, you know, will it backfire on them in the end?
Probably not.
Doesn't seem like it.
That sounds like Jared and MBS are pretty tight. Jared's bugging him, but he's telling his father, this will blow over. This will blow over.
Oh, I remember when Bush used to kiss their ass all the time.
All presidents pissed me off. Obama did.
Wait, did Obama bow to them?
Yes. Oh boy, what horror that was!
That was horrible. I hated that.
Yeah. And then Trump.
That's right.
Then Trump had the globe. That picture of the fucking globe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For some reason, we just have to kiss Saudi Arabia's ass because
that's the way it's always been. It's about money.
No, but that's stupid. That's weak.
Well, years ago, it was, it's all about the oil. It's all about the oil. But now that we're the number one producer of oil, where's that line coming?
It's not. It's about selling arms.
Selling arms? So now it's selling weapons?
Yeah. Yeah. That big contract. Mm. Which, you know, it's the whole, I didn't want them to delay the Michigan game because one person could get hurt.
Oh, I know. This whole lightning thing is so soft. Really? These football players who are dying to kill each other, and a little fucking lightning, which has a one in a... your chances of winning a lottery are better than getting hit by lightning.
The idea that one spectator could get hit by lightning and maybe get injured. Meanwhile, they're watching these guys that are going to have lifelong CTE. Nobody cares. cares so much about the one spectator.
The spectator can go underneath the stands if they don't want to be hit.
Possibly could get hit by a lightning bolt. But, you know, these guys... don't get paid and are going to have CTE. But I'm cool with it. I wanted to see him keep getting CTE.
Has Elric tweeted about the game?
I have not checked.
I saw him tweeting from the stands because he goes...
Oh, yeah. He's quite a fan. I didn't realize how intense he was about MSU. He's been going to the road games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Elric.
Is he going to be mad about the trash talk? I think he would laugh at it, too.
I think he'll be both. I mean, of course, I laugh at it because I didn't go to either school. It doesn't make a. It's really funny how people accuse me of being a Michigan fan or a Walmart Wolverine or something.
Quite the opposite.
It's like, no, I do. I like Michigan. I go to games. I watch every game. When's the last time I missed a Michigan football game?
The last game you didn't go to?
Well, no, not. I don't mean necessarily going. I go to at least three games a year. I would say three or four, maybe. I don't want to go see them beat up on Maryland, Wisconsin. Eastern Michigan. What? Wisconsin was at night and it was cold, and I went to Elton John the night before. But I'm a Virginia Tech fan. I went to Virginia Tech. I like Michigan football. I like Michigan State football. Honestly, I like them both. If either one of them's successful or if either one of them's on TV, I'll watch. I certainly watch Michigan more than Michigan State, I have to admit. But that's more like work-related.
Well, this cult is pretty strong.
It's also closer.
Elric tweeted
what do you write?
A picture of Chase Winovich. We put little brother in their place. It's the Freep story, and Elric says, yes, it's true. Chase Winovich is our big sister.
Ooh. That's funny. That's
and then right above that, looks like Urban Meyer deleted all those texts that detailed how to beat Purdue.
My buddy sent a message. Everybody goes, oh. Way after the Ohio State Purdue game, he said, oh, man, I really feel bad for those spouses of the Ohio State coaches.
Go Boilermakers!
Elric's tweets are great.
What else?
Here's one. Here's something you don't see very often. A happy UM fan. Congratulations on a 21-7 victory. He's got a video of some guy raising his arms. Woo!
Yeah, there hasn't been a happy Wolverine in East Lansing for a long time.
Oh, you got to go on upstairs.
Your Bluetooth on.
Oh, shit. God damn it.
Pretty
sounds
loud.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty loud up
sounds
there.
Sounds excellent.
Let me see where his tweets start. it's all him in the stands, his giant face on here. Spartans, prepare for glory. First one. He's waving his arms. UN field goal try, no good. Then he's got his hand on his chin like he's thinking. Spartan defense has been stellar. Could someone please make sure the offense comes out of the true locker room for the second half? Then Spartans recover the fumble. He's look at him.
Oh, God.
That's a video of him smiling, laughing. So that was the problem. Rookie should be a wide receiver, not quarterback. 7-7! He's got his finger to his brain. And let's see. Spartans fumble, then recover fumble. When it rains, it pours.
Didn't you and I decide on text that every play should have been a trick play? They should have just run every trick
play.
Well,
no wonder they need all these trick plays. They have no offense. Oh, my God.
They're banged up.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But how can you have a quarterback that can't get the ball within 10 yards of a receiver? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh, well, anyway, yeah. So then it seems he skips a big portion of the game.
What?
Throwing deep down the right sideline, and it's caught over the 50, down to the 30. Yes. It is all the way. Touchdown, Michigan.
Hey, where was Deerdorf? I don't think he did the game.
Really?
Yeah, I heard Jansen on the... Was it Jansen on the highlights?
Well, let's see. What's up,
Jansen?
What's up with Dan
Deerdorf? I mean, I could be wrong.
How is...
Maybe he doesn't go to away games.
How is Jim Brandstatter's podcast going? Oh, I guess no one listens to podcasts. I forgot Troy Aikman told me.
Troy Aikman's, yeah. Dick.
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
You know what? Fuck you, so Joe Buck. Funny. You could have done a little better job.
Oh, no. Joe Buck went after him.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He actually did. He gave him some hell for it, and then they even returned at the very end of the game to...
I can't believe you were watching the end of the game.
Why?
It was a terrible game. It was a blowout.
Yeah, the Broncos really whooped some ass on the...
what did they say at the end?
The hapless Cardinals. I think I saw it up on Twitter. I'll find it.
Did Joe Buck start naming his favorite podcasts?
Well, that's how the story, that's how they began, was the fact that Buck had been on a podcast or listened to a podcast.
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now. You are making enemies right now. I'm going to pull some strings. I'm going to get you on some podcasts going forward.
Tweet at him.
I've done them. I've just never listened to one.
Okay.
He thinks people just doing
running around.
Do you listen
stuff
to podcasts?
Absolutely.
I do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I know the answer. I know who listens to podcasts. I want you to call me the next time you're listening to a podcast.
I will. Put it on speaker.
You know what's weird about that? Think of how often Troy Aikman is in an airplane or in transit somewhere.
Right.
Troy!
What is he doing? Breaking down film constantly?
Troy.
It is really funny. I mean, it's funny that he said, you know, maybe I'm out of it. It's like, But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who think that.
Yeah.
I would just think that after a while, there's so many people doing something that you hear, oh, I was listening to a podcast. I mean, people generally share what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I also think that there's a lot of people who know exactly what a podcast is, but they don't know how easy it is to listen.
Yeah.
So once they finally listen to the first one, everything kind of breaks open, and now they're diehard podcast fans.
Well, plus when you have Alexa or Google Home,
right?
It's even easier.
They make the vehicles now so easy to go and grab that podcast too. You know, it used to be back in the day, you wanted to listen to a CD, but you only had a cassette player, so you had to get the little thing. So it was hard to listen to CDs. Well, now
everyone's got a smartphone.
Now everybody has a Bluetooth in their car.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people drive cars from 2010 or 2011 or 2009, but now it's just so commonplace. I did, you know, it was really interesting when, by the way, like us on Facebook. We're at 18,174. Let me see if there's any mic stuff up.
There were a lot of good comments about him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, fun reading them. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was fun reading them. But, you know.
One said, I guess Lucy's never getting that Reuben.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a few promises that will not be kept. The Mike Clark Day, 48,685 views, still going up, and like 100,000
reached.
Wow. Yeah. And then you go to the next day, 7,100 views, which is actually a lot.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Thursday, 4,300. And it's like, it's sort of like watching the show go up on iTunes, number 39. Somebody called me a narcissist for pointing it out. Like, I'm profiting off Mike's death. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm pointing out what a big deal it was that he died, and the interest in the story and in hearing about Mike, which we did the best we could, you dick. And it wasn't, hey, I'm so great, look, I'm number 39, fuck Mike! It wasn't like that. It was like, look, he drove the show to number 39.
Yeah.
And I on Friday, the show with Darren, Thursday actually recorded the Friday show, I pointed out that I'm watching the show drop on iTunes because, you know, the Mike story was dying down. Everybody knew, and they'd gone to Facebook, and they'd, you know, read about it. And some people, I'm sure, found the podcast and probably will continue listening, and we thank Mike for that, even though it's a fluky, weird thing, but that's just how it goes. It's not like we wanted him to die so we get more podcast listeners. But
kind of radio show is this?
But the great majority probably went to Facebook, watched a video, or maybe they listened to one podcast, and then they kind of go back to their lives, and some people will move into the world. It's not like you can get everyone to suddenly just, hey, I'm into podcasts. But it seemed like that for about a day and a half. It was like, oh, my God, the show is just huge right now. I mean, just monster huge like the old show. And that was cool, and I never expected it to stay that way. It wasn't like I expected there to be 50,000 views and 100,000 reached on Thursday, but it was, you know, that was the only point I was trying to make. And when I was scrolling on Thursday, I was scrolling slow because the show was getting closer to 100 and I didn't want to see the logo. I wanted to scroll further and see it at, you know, when it was at 39, it was really cool. You could keep scrolling. There it is! And you knew it was higher. And then, you know, as it fell
through
the
40s. All right, I'll ask, where is it now?
It's not in the top 100 anymore.
God damn it.
I know. And it was,
we took
was,
one day off.
That was hard to see happen. I saw the last number I saw that was 98.
Damn it.
I checked frequently.
Ugh.
I thought, maybe the new show posts and it goes back up. No.
Well, we're still at our normal spot on Google Play, which is nice.
Wait, how did we not rise on Google Play?
We didn't, which is weird. I'm not sure if it's some kind of odd algorithm.
I think they might have better analytics than say iTunes. I think they might judge differently.
I think, my personal view is they must count downloads, all downloads.
I think Google averages, so, and then updates.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's daily.
But where Apple, it's just new subscriptions or new people downloading it.
Well,
that tends to be the thinking, the thought. Or you know what it is? We had so many people have a problem with Google Play.
They went to iTunes.
They were all replaced by new people, and those new people left, and then those problem people came back.
God, that was a really shit timing, and I did get a lot of email about Google Play, and I told people just resubscribe, unsubscribe.
Nothing we could do. Like it was there,
and it was just bad timing.
Feed was there. It's all because they updated their software.
Oh well,
there were a lot of people that you know get the feed via Google, and it works fine.
Plus,
it's always on the website if you can't get it for any reason.
Hey, Brandon?
Yeah.
Is there a Cliff Notes we could play on the end?
Cliff Notes?
Yeah.
Any in particular?
Well, Rudy's good.
We just did Rudy.
Okay.
Do we have a live?
A live?
A live is pretty good.
That's a short one. That's a good one, though.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out which ones we have.
American History X.
Yeah, then, American History X is good.
Yeah, Rudy was always my all-time favorite when I was listening in. I also loved American History X. I really like the Hurricane, too.
Yeah, Hurricane's really good. I'm trying to remember what Mike did in Hurricane. Was he a cop?
What I loved at the end of Hurricane was when you started singing along to the song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which was totally impromptu.
Yeah, as Reuben Carter. Yes, it was impromptu. Yeah, Hurricane, that was a good movie, too.
So we'll definitely
How about Titanic?
Oh, Titanic's good. Yeah, we had a few requests for that.
He shines in Titanic, too.
Yep. I always loved The Perfect Storm because Mike mispronounced Gloucester, Gloucesterman, I think he said. And he just couldn't. He tried to do it like four times. He just couldn't say the right word. So it was just left that way.
It's not his fault. That's a stupid thing.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
You know, that's kind of funny Gatorade. That you played that because a lot of these Cliff Notes theater, you know, Mike usually, if a movie came out, he would see it 20 years later on the average. So almost every Cliff Notes theater, he had not seen the movie.
Yeah.
But he would throw himself into the role.
And it wasn't, a lot of them wasn't like we could just show him the trailer either.
No.
To explain what a character is.
Not really. So yeah, why don't we, can you just throw something on there?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I'm going to make sure that we can find one that has some good quality. We got to upload some of that stuff, too.
Oh,
so that is coming.
He's great.
Oh, yeah, Kunanen, yeah. He plays a character that sounds like Ernie Harwell, strangely, among others.
By the way, some Michigan fans are miffed that Washington State game day got Ryan Leaf.
Oh, what?
Remember the whole chain smokers to-do?
That was stupid.
Thank you, Ryan, very much.
And they got Ryan Leaf. Who played there?
Did they win that game, by the way?
Yes.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
They're pretty good, aren't they?
They jumped. I don't know. The Pac-12 good.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't figure out how good the Big Ten is or is not. Because Ohio State looked like shit last night. Penn State looks like shit lately. Michigan looks really good.
Well, two big upsets were the West, you know, Purdue and Northwestern beating Ohio State and Michigan State, respectively.
Did Northwestern win this weekend?
Yeah, they had to come back and beat Rutgers.
Boy, you can never count those Wildcats out.
They are a different team.
I still remember when I was a kid, we used to go to Northwestern games, and Mike Adamley played then, who won the Silver Football, and he rushed for 300 yards against Illinois one game I went to. So he was, of course, my hero immediately. And they won, I think one of those years they won six games, and it was like they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were 6-4.
Yeah.
And I think they beat Ohio State, and that was just the biggest thing. Wow. I mean, to a kid, it was like, what? It was huge.
And then they lost, what, like 80 straight? with Dennis Green.
There was a period they were 1-31, I think. 131-1 or something. They were so bad. If you'd have told me Northwestern would be in a Rose Bowl, I would have bet my life against that.
Didn't they win one?
I think they lost. I think they lost to USC once. And I think they lost the second one too.
They were back to back, weren't they?
UCLA, yeah.
You know what's funny about that? Was it 94? That 94 season when they went
95? Maybe it was 94.
They lost to. You're right. I think it. Maybe it was 94.
It was both.
Go back to the 90s.
I want
to
say.
Tiger!
I want to say 95 and 96.
They lost to Miami of Ohio in the first game. If they would have won that, they probably could have been in the national championship.
Oh wow!
Talk.
I know, that's crazy. Yeah. I think they got a great coach. I like their coach, Pat Fitzgerald. What's wrong with him?
He's kind of a goof. No, he's fine.
Why is he a goof?
I'm sure they say that about Harbaugh.
Oh, they do.
Don't
why,
forget the
why
time.
Why is Pat Fitzgerald a goof? You're I'm telling Jim me something. Harbaugh. I mean, honestly, he seems like a cool guy.
I'm still miffed. He was very happy about the penalty Michigan got. I think was it 2012 when he celebrated the penalty, the late hit out of bounds penalty that he thought gave them the victory. Dick.
What? You're actually judging his character on something that happened in 2012?
Yeah, he's a dick.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Isn't it fun to hate other coaches?
Can you be a little less Michigan myopic?
I really don't have a problem with him.
He seems like a great guy. He's coaching a private school with 9,000 people to close to the top of the conference. He goes to a bowl game every year.
No, he was smiling.
So he's a dick for 5 seconds.
It's not like he was smiling after a clothesline. What?
Clothesline? I can't believe
they ripped LaVert Hill's headphones off his head.
Clothesline?
They should have to pay for his headphones.
When I see somebody clotheslined, I expect him in a neck brace the next day. Is anybody wearing a neck brace today? He played in the fucking game.
No.
How can he be clotheslined?
Well, his headphones are broken. LaVert's are.
Are they really broken? Was that said?
No, I don't. Okay. No, they were.
No, I heard.
They should.
They
bill
knocked
him.
His headphones off his head.
Turn my headphones up.
They should bill him. They go for their nice walk, and these ruffians get in their way.
Yeah, I'm sure they couldn't have gotten out of the way.
That's
they
BS.
Couldn't have done
Check
that.
The tape. That's BS. I'm not smiling.
But they scuffed up the logo.
That's so awesome.
Johnny Spirit wasn't even there to protect it.
Should we call Johnny Spirit real quick?
Yeah,
sure. We'll get his
wait,
voicemail.
I didn't see him at all during the game walking around.
Someone saw him. I got this from East Lansing. I got a message that Johnny Spirit was protecting Sparty statue around the clock, and they went up and told him that we were trying to reach him, and he acted like, huh?
Oh, okay.
Like he doesn't know us.
Yeah, we'll see. Where's he going to park his bike next year?
I love that Johnny Spirit has no idea who the fuck we are, yet we know him. I know he does. He parks at our tailgate every other year.
I think at the very least.
I'm hot about that. I am really hot. How dare
he? He loved Clark.
I hope he doesn't answer the phone.
When I found that, this is another Clark story I remembered when I found that picture from the 99 game.
Yeah.
Was it 97 he went up there too and there was a Port-a-John incident?
Oh, yeah. That was the Tony Banks game when Michigan State won the snow on a late touchdown pass or something.
What was the Port-a-John story? Though?
Somebody just defiled the Port-a-John right before he went in.
Yeah. Wasn't he taken aback by it?
Yes, he was.
Like,
and it was one of those things where...
Like what's his name in Jaws where he's just like, ah! I think that was the comparison he used.
I think people kept going, he kept watching people go in and turn away and go,
what kind of animal?
Oh my God, what happened in there? Like there was a dead body in the point of jump, but he, of course, instead of putting a sign up.
Hello?
Wait!
Fake.
Oh, fuck. He got me again.
He's there.
John?
John?
Johnny?
Johnny Spirit?
It is him.
It is.
Unless it's a really elaborate re-recording of his cell phone message.
From 1980.
Johnny,
well,
it's...
I called you guys back because somebody told me to call you and your voicemail is full.
Oh, balls.
Sorry to hear that.
You know what time they called you since Wednesday?
No, I'm sorry.
No
That's
clue.
On us then.
Wow. Yeah,
I called you and called you, but you guys, nobody answered and it goes to your voicemail and then it just says it's... I don't know. So
it was a crazy week because I don't know if you knew, Johnny, but Mike Clark of Drew and Mike passed away this week.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yep.
Holy cow.
I know. One of the biggest Spartan fans out there.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even hear that, and I'm out here in the middle of nowhere.
I know. Well, I'm kind of a little surprised you didn't hear that. Are you pretty insulated, Johnny Spirit?
Well, I don't really get the media that well out here. There's no interwebs or anything out here.
Interwebs? Where is out there? Where are you? Or can you not divulge that?
Where do you think I am?
Are you guarding Sparty still?
We don't guard. We just sit here and watch.
Oh, you're watching Sparty.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as Wi-Fi out here.
Wait, there's no Wi-Fi in East Lansing?
No, just out here. Yeah. They had Wi-Fi back in the, I guess, like...
What about cell service?
2005. And then They lost it. I don't know if there's no Wi-Fi out here.
Johnny, why are you always so mysterious? I think it adds to your legend that you're so mysterious. It's like
why
we hear...
I don't know. Why am I mysterious?
Well, you have no Wi-Fi. That's weird. And then we hear you're... We hear that you're working at some ski resort. I mean, like 90 people tell us that, and then you say you didn't.
Exactly. They say I do, but I don't. That's a long story, but no, I don't work anywhere up there.
You can't get cell service, but you're on a phone. Work there? Yeah.
So I've never really been on the interwebs, and I'm talking to you on a 1990s flip phone.
Oh, that's why.
It really does. It gets wonderful service, as I tell you.
Why does Johnny's phone?
The best thing out there, but that's not even good enough.
His phone sounds better than my phone. I have an iPhone, and your phone sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, service is a different story. I guess they're changing everything over to digital or whatever, and my phone is analog, so the more people that get changed over to digital, the less people that have analog, therefore I don't have cell service.
Okay, I'll go ahead and ask, what's the chance of you getting a new phone?
I guess once they make me get a new phone, which is pretty darn close, you know, they're saying they're going to shut my phone off pretty soon because it's too old.
Your cell phone blows.
Huh. But is there any feeling that maybe you should beat them to the punch and get a new phone?
Why would I do that? I never use the thing. It just sits in my pocket or sits in the backpack and does nothing.
Are we the only people that talk to you on your cell phone?
Well, besides 911.
Really? Nobody else calls you but us and 911?
Well, you're not supposed to have my phone number. Nobody has my phone number.
Oh.
Wait. What's going on with 911?
How often are you calling 911?
How mysterious this guy is.
When you're watching Sparty and something happens?
No, just for emergencies, period, like car accidents and stuff like that. Oh.
Okay.
All right. How many times has Johnny Spirit called 911 to report a car accident or an emergency?
I don't know. Probably like 5 times a week. Oh.
What? Five times? Seriously?
Yeah.
See, you've just.
Especially come the snow season when people are getting all types of car accidents.
He's just added to the mystery.
When you're working at the ski resort.
911.
There's no roads up there, and there's no 911, and there's no cell service. So put that all together there.
Johnny Spirit calls 911 110 times a year. He's their biggest caller. That's hilarious. Did you call 911 Devin Bush scuffed up the logo on Saturday?
Call 911.
Somebody call 911 quick. He's scuffing the logo.
Or when that guy was horrifyingly clotheslined.
I honestly didn't watch any of the games, so I can't tell you what you're talking about.
What?
What's going on?
What? Wait, the mystery is getting way too big now. What do you mean you didn't watch the game?
You know, I'm too busy. I don't watch the game.
But you're Johnny
Spirit.
Too busy
doing what?
Maybe that's your fault they lost then.
Anyway.
Wait, Johnny, be level with me. You didn't watch the game, and if not, why?
I usually watch like a few seconds at a time, but I'm too busy getting the crowd going.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. So you're too busy working on Spirit.
Yeah.
You did make it into the stadium, though.
Yeah, I was in the stadium, and then left for a few seconds, literally a few seconds, and then walked right back in.
You mean during the weather delay?
I actually didn't even make it outside the gate, so I technically never left the stadium, but I was walking out the stadium and they're like, oh, everybody come back in. I'm like, okay, I'll turn around and go back in.
Wait, I would think you'd be exempt because of your inflatable helmet would protect you.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I was like, I'm the tallest thing here, driving on stretchy, but I got a rubber helmet, so it's insulated.
Hey, was the crowd really upset about the weather delay? Did they think it was bullshit?
I don't want to say that word, but I think it was better be safe than sorry, but I don't think there was any lightning close. I saw some, but when I counted the 1,017, it still didn't hear the thunder. I thought, man.
So it was more than 1,017 miles away.
No, I don't know. It's better be safe than sorry.
But we all wanted to watch football.
I plotted all those. They evacuated quickly and did a good job.
Did you help show people where to go, like where the safe areas were? Did you turn into a quasi-usher?
Well, everybody asked me, and they tell me, I said go to Wells Hall, because it's actually, I mean, you got the IM West, and you got Wells Hall. Wells Hall's a little bit further, but I think they put the screens on in there. You know, they have all the rooms open and all the TV screens on and playing all the games and stuff, and I mean, those screens are huge. They're, you know, they're like two-story tall TV screens in all the lecture halls, and the amenities there are great, and they have concessions in there. And
Even though it's further, you knew that people would have a better time at Wells.
Yeah, Wells Hall, I mean, honestly, I've never been in the IM during the evacuation. I've been in the Wells every time. So I'm pretty sure IM is pretty good, too, but I just know that Wells has, they open all the rooms and all the concessions.
Once again, better safe than sorry, because you know what they have. The devil you know.
Well, let's look ahead, Johnny. Just a look inside the world of Johnny Spirit. This week, it's Purdue. What responsibilities do you have during the week? What exactly, what kind of Spartan-oriented, what's on your Spartan itinerary for the week?
Pretty much just preparing for Purdue. I mean, there's not much to do. I just, you know, winding down from this and going on to the next game. It's going to be fun.
It sounds like
hopefully we won't have any lightning delays.
That sounds like a light itinerary. Are you doing something else during the week? I mean, you have a 9-to-5 job?
No, I'm just hanging out here.
Really? Okay. I'm not going to ask you more questions because I don't want to spoil the myth of Johnny Spirit or the reality of Johnny Spirit, which is that he's always Johnny Spirit somehow. Are you near Sparty now?
I'm literally touching him. But anyway, I'm a little miffed about Mike. I'm just crushed. I mean, not to turn the table on you.
No,
but gosh,
no, that's okay. I'm glad you said something.
I can't believe that. I mean, he was a big Spartan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I can't believe I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything from any guys that were come up here talking to me or nothing.
I'm surprised.
I mean, I'd like to talk to you about that later. I mean, wow, I'm dumbfounded.
And he would have been pissed at that game.
Oh, he would have been very upset.
Yeah, that and I don't know. I just remember being on the scissor lift with Mike and hanging out for the Red Wings Stanley Cup.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
We had a great time. That was a great time.
Yeah, someone sent some pictures of that. God, he took a lot of pictures. And I know he remembered it well, and I'm sure he appreciates all the call-ins that we got to have over the years, but we'll hopefully keep that tradition up, Johnny. I'm glad you called us back. And sorry to spring that on you.
Did you tell that I called you back, or did you not know that I called you back?
We didn't know.
We didn't even know.
I called you quite a few times on the number that you called me by, but it goes to voicemail.
Yeah, it was a really crazy week. Generally, if we call, that's probably around the time to call back if you can know that somehow. I don't know, this phone doesn't sound real elaborate.
I don't have my phone on, half the time I don't have it on me. You know, it's just
what if there's a 911 emergency?
My backpack is real close.
Then you had to turn it on.
Wait, Johnny, you've got family members, though. I mean, don't you ever talk to family on your phone?
I saw them at the game. I mean,
it's kind of nice. I mean, that he doesn't. You don't have any social media. You don't have any of that. It's
no
just
social media. I spend about 6 months a year without a cell phone at all. So,
dare I say, nobody lives in the real world more than Johnny Spirit.
That's
well,
true.
You know, I don't do the interwebs, and I got people say I've got a lot of time on my hands because of that, and I believe, you know, we all have the same amount of time. I just use mine a little bit more wisely.
Because I never know what Johnny is going to answer to any question. I mean, honestly, the answer is such a wild card. I'm just going to ask you a real simple question and see if we get another crazy answer. What are you doing for dinner tonight?
Hopefully Harry from Luminaries. They said they're going to drop something off. And Arcadia said...
What?
Arcadia Brewing Company said they were going to hook us up tomorrow. Said something about a big barbecue bash or something. I don't know.
Really?
I don't really. I have to turn you over to my culinary arts expert that's sitting here talking to. I don't know who he's talking to right now, but he's the guy who lines up all the eats.
Really? So
that
they
delicious.
Is it an apprentice?
Nah, just one of the guys out here.
So in other words, they set you up with, you know, this person might provide breakfast, this person might bring lunch, and so on and so forth.
Something like that. It's not consistent, but, you know.
Like I said.
People love to chip in and help out a little bit.
That's really nice. Like I said, though, your answer never is what I expect. See, I thought you'd say, I'm going to Chili's or I'm going to McDonald's.
I got a sandwich in my backpack.
Yeah.
I do have a sandwich in my backpack. It's a Jimmy John's. They were pretty grateful to send us something up for lunch. So.
All right, Johnny, have fun.
I do want to say that Potbelly says the best sandwiches out here because they come nice and warm.
Oh, that sounds good.
Not to plug in there, but I love warm sandwiches, so Potbelly's has hooked us up.
Yeah, Johnny Spirit does not generally plug people. So no, that was,
but if you want to plug, just drop a sandwich off.
Yeah, well, no, that's okay. I mean...
You've only given like six plugs out.
I really don't know my plug, do I?
I mean, no, you're not.
Well, you plugged Arcadia. You plugged.
Well, that was just. I'm being truthful with you.
You there were four plugs. That's okay.
No, okay, that's fine. We appreciate your honesty. Johnny, good luck with Purdue, and it's always nice to talk.
Hey, it's okay. Well, I can't wait to see you again sometime soon. You guys have a good time, and Sparty on.
Sparty on, Johnny. Thanks,
Johnny. Take care.
All right. Adios. Well.
Wow. He's guarding.
He's so unpredictable.
Or he's watching Sparty right now. He is a man of mystery.
Why is he at Sparty? Why is he there? Who's going to bother Sparty now?
Tyler Trent.
Nobody's going to bother Sparty anyway.
It's the Purdue game. It's a big game.
Tyler Trent. What he's going to
I knew you'd eventually get it.
He's going to roll it over. He's just going to go wailing into it. He's going to attach a Jado rocket to the back of his wheelchair. His
maybe the Ohio State win got him stronger, and he's just going to go up there and spray paint a big P on it, like on his head.
The Jado rocket story?
Yes,
another one of Mike's favorites. This came up in comments somewhere. You can hit the outro, Brandon. this came up in comments that how long Mike carried the space shuttle transcript in his briefcase.
Yeah,
it was like the only thing in there.
It was the only
space shuttle transcript, which Mark and I declared fake.
It was so fake.
But we read it on the air in like 93, I think, was when it was claimed to exist, and we read it. People were transfixed. People were blown away by it.
Found out it was fake.
In 2005 or whenever Mike brought it back, it was just poo-pooed to all hell because it had been all over the internet.
Once the internet got a hold of it,
it was too easy to distribute. I don't know where it came from originally. I have no idea. But Mike guarded it like
his briefcase.
Like it was the Hope Diamond, the shuttle transcript.
That's so weird to think that he had a fucking briefcase.
I know.
I forgot about
that. It was like, and he opened it one day, and it was like the only fucking thing
in there.
In there,
yeah. It was like Kramer and his crackers in his briefcase.
Oh, boy.
I think he had some flying... I'm not joking. I seriously think flying manuals.
Yes, he did.
As well.
He did. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
All right. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow and maybe Cliff Notes after the...
Yeah, no, we'll definitely have one out here. I'm just going to...
If anybody knows Troy Aikman, tell them to start listening.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll reach out to Troy. Troy.
Anyone knows Amy Schumer, tell her no one wants her in an ad anyway.
Tell her to stop telling people what to do.
And also, can people stop buying Mega Millions tickets? It's really slowing up the 7-Eleven line.
1.6 billion, baby. It's a lot of coin.
Yeah, but your odds don't change. It's still the same amount of numbers.
Someone's got to win that fucker.
No.
Someone has to win it.
Heaven, that's why it's so much.
Well, it's not going to be you.
We'll You're see. Right.
It's not.
Have a good one and
see ya.
Anyway, when I turned in my book report on what else, Mein Kampf, my stupid African-American teacher wouldn't accept it. He wants me to write a paper on my brother's incarceration instead. By the way, I'm dead now, so I don't know how the hell I'm narrating this movie. Anyway, here's why they put my brother away.
Bitch.
What? There's three African Americans stealing your car!
Can't you see I'm busy porking this hot Aryan chick with white power tattoos?
I said there's three African Americans trying to steal.
What? Three African American? Where's my gun? Where to start? Which one? Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Tick, tock, toe.
Wow! That was cool, big brother! I want to be just like you! You'd think Derek was just a born racist, but actually, he learned to hate African-Americans years earlier from my dad.
Dad was reading his cool new book called Native Son.
Ain't that a book about African-Americans?
Oh, yeah, and my African-American teacher said it's really
affirmative blackson to me. Be careful about swallowing that bull, boy.
Affirmative blackson?
Yeah, there's probably better books about white people. They bump for that one. It's like I screwed up with some white guys in my squad and tried for a promotion.
Oh, that's terrible, Jeff.
Damn straight. Look, I got to go put out a fire at a crack house. You be good, boy.
1 hour later...
Eric, it's the fire chief. Look, I've got some bad news. Some African American shot your dad to death while he was putting out a fire at a crack house.
Probably some guy on welfare.
Whatever. Take it easy.
African Americans suck. I'm gonna go to a white power rally.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. The white man marches on.
One more time.
The white man marches on.
My mom's Jewish boyfriend. It all started with a relatively friendly conversation.
That Rodney King had it coming. He was high, going 120, and he went after the cops.
I thought the police beating was excessive.
Lincoln freed the slaves 130 years ago. They need to get their act together.
Now, Derek, relax.
How can I relax when somebody to take Yom Kippur off is trying to f*** my mother? And check out this tattoo.
Swastika. Oh, nice. Look, I think I'll be going.
Oh, Murray, it's just a phase.
This swinging dick is out of here.
Damn you, Derek. You lost me some good hoagie. I'm ashamed you came out of my body.
My brother was filled with rage and hatred, and me too. But then a funny thing happened when he went to prison. He was hanging with the skinheads one day, and,
Why is that skinhead talking to that Hispanic guy?
He's just doing a little drug deal.
Buying Hispanic drugs and then selling them to perfectly pure skinheads? That's bullshit!
You're out of control, Derek.
Am not.
Am so.
Am not.
Am so.
Am not. You need a hot skinhead beef injection. Do not.
Do so not.
Oh!
Take that.
How's that feel?
Yeah, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Take it.
Jesus.
Take it.
Take it.
Love it.
You love it.
Oh,
oh yeah. Keep taking it. How's that? Take that.
24 hours and 6 stitches later, Derek goes to work at the prison folding laundry.
Hey, man, why are you so angry?
I just took it up the butt from a skinhead. Them skinheads.
You better hang with them, motherfucker. They're your protection. Without them, brothers will kick your white power ass.
I'll take my chances.
Hey, check this out. Smell these undies. Reminds me of getting angry sex and you know when she get on top of this big thing and punish it and
That's cool, my main man. Hey, how about those Celtics, huh?
Celtics, Lakers kick their ass.
Celtics.
Lakers.
Celtics.
Lakers.
Celtics.
That's funny as sh-.
Hey, your skin color is black, and you're okay. Well, maybe I don't hate blacks after all.
Derek.
Yeah?
Your sentence is up.
Hey, thanks, black guy.
I didn't do sh- for you.
Yes, you did. You kept the brothers from smoking my butt and tossing my salad. You taught me that not all African-Americans are bad. And that skinhead that was in my butt taught me that not all white people are good.
Hey, Derek, you're out. Let's go to a white power party.
No, Danny, little bro, blacks are okay.
But you taught me they were bad.
I know, it's crazy, but they're okay.
Trust me. Or not.
All right, look. A skinhead put it in my butt.
What?
You heard me. Now let's take all that Nazi stuff down off the wall.
Oh, geez. Do we have to take everything down?
Yeah. Everything.
The next day.
Geez, Derek. This is kind of gay. You walking me to school and everything, but I like it.
Well, the skinheads are all pissed at me. And the African Americans, man, it's crazy. Well, hey, have fun at school.
Okay, Derek. Whoa, there's that black dude I used to taunt back when my brother told me to hate blacks.
Revenge is sweet, motherfucker.
Oh, no, Danny. It's all my fault. Ah, jeez. Do I blame myself for this, or... do I start hating African-Americans again? My butt still hurts. Oh.
It's weird that I'm still narrating my paper, American History X, because I'm dead. But the message is, hate is baggage, life is too short to be pissed all the time. Don't listen to your brother, and taking it up the butt sucks. Later.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Perfect. 100% Colombian cocaine. My name is George Young, inmate number 420. I guess this is one of those flashback movies or something. I'm from Massachusetts, which is why I talk like a Kennedy who deals blow. My old man was cool, a little naive, and broke. My mom, what a bitch. I decided to bolt in 68, so me and my fat friend Tuna took off for California. All we had was $300 and a TR-3.
A month later...
Geez, George... What are you gonna do for money?
Well, my hot stewardess girlfriend, Bobby, knows some mo who could sell us some weed.
And when I fly east, I could sell it there because I don't have to go through security.
Bobby, let's go see a pot dealing mo friend, Derek, for real.
Okay.
A half hour later...
Hey, guys, how much reefer do we need?
Let's see. Bobby flies east with two suitcases full twice a week. Tune and I hit the beach every day. 100 pounds.
Goodness, you guys are big time.
Months later...
George, our East Coast connection says he needs more dope.
Oh, geez. We'll have to get an RV. Let's see. An RV has 78 square feet. That'll hold 2,019 pounds at $225 a pound. We'll make $128,000 a week. Derek, can you pull it off?
Goodness, George. Of course. I'm getting a boner just thinking about all that money.
Months later, George and Barbie meet George's parents. My God, that engagement ring must be 50 carats. And I love you, new Jaguar. I'd have driven the Ferrari. I just don't like packing it anywhere.
Amazing. All this on a construction worker's salary.
It's crazy, Dad.
I'm just glad you found someone, even if she does have a nasty-ass bloody nose.
It's probably from all the blow I've been doing. Either that or brain cancer.
I'll take care of you, baby.
Not so fast, Florence Nightingale. You busted for intent to distribute ish.
But my fiance has cancer.
I set bail at $20,000.
Hey, that's cool. I got 20 big ones on me. See ya.
2 years later, Barbie is dead and fugitive George goes home.
George, sorry about your fiance with the big rock dying.
It's okay, Mom. Hey, Dad.
Hey, let's have a drink while your bitch mother calls the cops.
I'm sorry, Dad.
It's okay. It's just not my first choice for you.
Okay, motherfucker, fugitive, you busted again.
Thanks a lot, Mom.
Everyone knows you're a drug dealer. How do you think this reflects on me?
Days later, George is in jail.
Hey, George, I'm your roommate, Diego. Why are you in here, man?
660 pounds of pot.
Well, what do you know about dealing cocaine?
Not much, but I'm ready to learn.
A year and a half later and out of jail.
Hey, George, can you move 110 pounds of cocaine, man?
Let me make a quick call.
Hello?
Derek, can you move 110 pounds of cocaine?
Probably, in about a year.
36 hours later... Hello?
George, I've been up for a day and a half, and I can't get a boner.
What about the blow, Derek?
We need more, George.
Okay, Diego, necesito más cocaine.
More? My God, we must visit Pablo Escobar.
A day later in Colombia, Pablo.
George, un momento. Este hombre is how you say a dick. Okay, Diego says you moved 110 pounds in 36 hours.
That's right, I've got planes. My cost is 10 grand a kilo.
I need the U.S. market. Let's shake on it.
Hey, who's that chick that looks like Penelope Cruz?
She's staring at you.
That's weird. I'm a long-haired bum with no job. What the hell would she see in me?
Hola, hombre. I want to marry you.
Wow, you like me for me?
Es how you say, crazy?
Months later, a married George and Diego are supplying virtually the entire U.S. Pablo's blow.
Hey, George, where can I put this $3 million, man?
Try the back bedroom.
I would, but it's full. We'll have to put it in Noriega's bank in Panama, man. By the way, who is selling all of this stuff?
I can't tell you.
And why not, man? You're just the middleman. He and I do all the work. We should meet.
Sorry, Diego.
Really? You tell your Colombian bitch wife, but not me?
Okay, Diego, calm down. It's Derek for real.
Derek for real, eh?
Weeks later, I don't know what's going on. I never hear from Diego or Derek. We're not moving any blow.
Hello?
Derek, ever since I told Diego you're my connection, we haven't moved any blow.
What a coincidence.
I thought we were friends, and you screwed me.
I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. It's just business. Bye-bye.
It's okay, George. I'm just about to have your baby.
Ah, you're right. I've got $60 million. What do I need this crap for?
Dios mío, my agua broke.
Oh, my God! When Christina was born, my life changed. I wanted nothing more than to be Christina Sunshine Young's dad. Right then, I knew I was put on this earth to sell and snort cocaine. I mean to be a good daddy. For the next 5 years, I was sober as a judge until my 38th birthday. Mirtha wanted to have some fun.
Party!
Party!
Coke in every bowl.
All my coke friends.
Damn, George, sorry about this. You busted again, motherfucker.
Busted again. Undercover DEA guys as waiters. I made bail and went on the run to Noriega's bank where I got millions.
Welcome to Bank of Noriega. May I help you?
Yeah, I want my $60 million. I'm George Young.
Ah, Los Tiento, I'm very sorry. Your drug money has been taken by the government of Panama. It's crazy. Sorry, come again. You asshole. Thanks for banking with Noriega.
Days later, fugitive George and Mirtha are driving.
Mirtha, there's a cop behind me.
I don't care. We're broke, you loser.
Mirtha, calm down.
You must be gay. Derek screws you. Diego screws you. You don't screw me. You are gay.
Hey, I'm trying to drive, bitch.
Ah!
You loco mother...
Easy. Ow! Stop it.
Take this and this.
Damn, you busted again, George Young. You better find another occupation, brother.
3 years later, on the prison phone...
George, I loved you when you had coke money, but now look at you. Without it, you're just a loser inmate. I sneaked another wallet, and the guy attached to it is banging me. Forget seeing your daughter Christina unless you come up with big bucks.
Months later, George is out of prison.
Derek, I need a crew. One final run, and I'll bribe Mirtha to give me my daughter, and we'll live happily ever after in SoCal. My girl, she's all I have.
Okay, George.
I got a crew. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Days later.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Perfect. 100% Colombian cocaine. Except, why are we repeating the first scene when I'm inmate number 420?
Because, motherfucker, you busted again. You one of them short bus guys or what? You got a slow learning curve, George.
This sucks ass. Not because I'm getting 60 years. Not because they show my ugly mug instead of Johnny Depp at the end of the movie. But because I broke another promise to my little girl. The only thing that matters, besides blow.
George Young is incarcerated at Otisville Prison till at least 2015. His daughter has never visited. It's crazy.
That's right, George Young, and I'll be right here in 2015 waiting for you when you get out. You want snow, motherfucker, man. I'm busting you for